Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. Take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Drones, but also about much more. Do we have a Bill of Rights? Do we have a Constitution? And will we defend it? In his farewell speech in 1989, Reagan said, "As government expands, liberty contracts." He was right. Government cannot give us our liberty. Our rights come from our Creator. But as government grows, liberty becomes marginalized. The collective takes precedent over the individual. Freedom shrinks. And our government today is larger than it has ever been in our history. Everything that America has been, everything we ever wished to be, is now threatened by the notion that you can have something for nothing, that you can have your cake and eat it too, that you can spend $1 trillion every year that you don't have. This government's completely out of control. We desperately need a new course and new leadership. The path forward for the Republican Party is rooted in the respect for the Constitution and respect for the individual. Part of that respect is allowing our Americans to freely exercise one of their most basic rights, the right to bear arms. But you can't protect the Second Amendment if you don't protect the Fourth Amendment. If we are not secure in our homes, if we are not secure in our persons and our papers, can we really believe that the right to bear arms will be secure? We need to jealously guard all our liberties. The Facebook generation can detect falseness and hypocrisy a mile away. I know, I have kids. They are the core, though, of the Leave Me Alone coalition. They doubt Social Security will be there for them. They worry about jobs and money and rent and student loans. They want leaders that won't feed them a line of crap or sell them short. They aren't afraid of individual liberty. Ask the Facebook generation whether we should put a kid in jail for the nonviolent crime of drug abuse, and you'll hear a resounding no. Ask the Facebook generation if they want to bail out too big to fail banks with their tax dollars, and you'll hear a hell no. There is nothing conservative about bailing out Wall Street. Likewise, there is nothing progressive about billion-dollar loans to millionaires to build solar panels. The Republican Party has to change by going forward to the classical and timeless ideas enshrined in our Constitution. When we understand that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, then we'll become the dominant national party again. It's time for us to revive Reagan's law. For liberty to expand, government must shrink.
Good evening. You are live with Tex and Rex. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City. We're right across the Potomac River at the Gaylord at the National Harbor. This past week, CPAC met, and a lot of interesting things happened, and we're going to be talking about them. Tex is on special assignment this evening. He might be joining us shortly. In the meantime, we have a very special regular on the show who will be helping me guest host your CPAC extravaganza tonight. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm fired up, man. That was a lot of interesting things happened. The intro, obviously, we had a little fuel by Metallica to get us pumped up, but then we heard a couple of clips from Rand Paul's CPAC speech, which I thought was quite good. It was really cool. He came in and he said, they've only given me 10 minutes, but I brought 13 hours worth of material,
which I
thought was just excellent.
Yeah,
so did you get a chance to catch that CPAC stuff?
I have watched every speech, and I blogged on every one of them. So I was very involved in the whole thing. I actually took the time, and I said, I'm going to do this. I want to know. I want to see the end result of the primary, the election, going into CPAC. I watched the rhinos on the second day and, gritted my teeth and kicked my desk and screamed and hollered and cussed, I couldn't fathom why they even had those guys speaking. Went to the panels, did it all, took notes. I really wanted to get a feel for, who, what, when, where, and why. And thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. And what I want to tell you boys and girls out there in flyover country is that unless you want CPAC to just be a rah-rah-rah cheerleading feel-good event, now's the time to strike. Yep. In November, not November 2014. Don't start fantasizing about 2016. Now is the time to strike. Now is the time to put forward authentic conservative ideas and claim our republic, because it is not gone. It's just limping severely. I mean, legally, it's still here. The only thing is that if it isn't in your heart and you aren't standing up for it, it is going to disappear, and it's going to disappear relatively soon. So what you need to do is familiarize yourself with what happened, who's your talk tonight. A lot of interesting things happen. What you can do if you're listening to the show right now is under the show icon, there is a follow button. Click follow when you will get notifications of when we're broadcasting in your Blog Talk Radio profile and affiliated email. And on Facebook, go to the Tex and Rex show page and hit like, and you will get updates in your news feed when we are broadcasting. And if you're so inclined, join Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia. The link is on the Tex and Rex show page. And while you're there, might as well go to Coalition of Freedom, both in Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook. That's where you'll find all of Chris's very valuable information. And he is not kidding when he says that he watched and blogged on every single speech.
Yep.
A lot of work there.
That 300-400 comments and interactions a day on throughout.
Excellent.
You know, a lot of times I was by myself, you know, but I just, you know, I do it for me. You know, when I write, it forces me to think myself through, you know, what are my thoughts, what are they saying, you know, how am I responding to it, whatever. You know, it's more fun just like doing a show if you got somebody to rap with, you know, than doing anything by yourself. But, you know, I see the battle. I see the battle lines have been drawn, and it is so... That's what fires me up. You know, I think that the thing, just to spin off of what you said, that people need to understand, this country's been in the crap pot before. I mean, you want to look at some rough times. Look what happened in the Nixon era. I mean, it's hard to call Nixon a Republican. You know, there's so many things that people don't understand about history. You know, they came out of the Nixon Watergate era, and the Republican Party was 18%. You know, Newt has talks about this stuff all the time, but, you know, if you're
a historian.
You know, this is important stuff to look at. We're okay. You know, we can win this country back, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Chris, you're 100% right. I mean, the simple fact is that we have a Twitter speed, Facebook attention span, and, you know, which is fine, you know. I've got ADD. I mean, oh, look, a chicken. You know, I get distracted. But the fact is that if you don't know your history, if you don't know where you're coming from, you're going to have a tough time standing where you should be. And no way in hell are you going to be able to look forward to where you're supposed to go. And that's the fundamental problem we have right now. People just don't understand where we are, where we were, and what's going on. And CPAC is actually a great example and a great moment to talk about these things, because I think this was the 40th CPAC, and we go back. You mentioned, you know, Dick Nixon and that horrible era that ensued following him, not just for Republicans and conservatives, but for the country in general. But if you think about what happened back then, it was devastating. I mean, it was really the end. And an interesting thing is that it was not lost on conservatives. And for people that conflate Republican and conservative, not true. Not true. I mean, right now, if you look at where most Republican voters are, it's in the South, right? Well, when this party was formed, it was no friend of the South. This
That's
was
right.
Lincoln's party. This is the party that invaded the Confederacy. So what happened there? Well, it's not the same party. And that's the thing. I mean, unfortunately, duopoly is here right now. And on the national stage, you've got two choices. Locally, in your state, you got Libertarians, Constitution Party. You know, there's more play, and there's going to be significant prominence with these third parties. I mean, the CP almost grabbed the governorship in Colorado. But on the national stage, at least for the next few election cycles, it's going to be duopoly. But it's not the same Democrat. This is not Andrew Jackson's or even Martin Van Buren's Democrat Party, and it is not Lincoln's Republican Party, nor is it, for that matter, Coolidge's Republican Party or even Eisenhower's. It might not even be Reagan's, right? I mean, do you think that Ronald Reagan could win in today's Republican Party?
No.
Yeah, he's an extremist, right? Well, here's the interesting thing.
He was a transition president.
Well, I think he was not only transition, I think he was transformational. And here, let's take a little trip down history. Remember, you and I did this for the Christmas special. We went through the Republicans' past. Well, let's just take a not that far back, even though I mentioned Coolidge. And if you don't know much about President Coolidge, you are missing a large and very important part of your history of the executive department. Look that up. But, you mentioned the defeats that the Republicans and, quote, conservatives had faced in the early 70s. Well, I think 74 was the first CPAC, where conservatives were like, okay, we got to do something about this, and that's where the American Conservative Union was formed, and Reagan gave a speech there. Now, remember, this is coming 10 years after he gave the speech in support of Barry Goldwater. That's a decade, okay? So go back to 2003. That's how long we're talking about. And he could give – well, he couldn't see here, but anybody, say Rand Paul, could give Reagan's CPAC speech from 40 years ago today, and it would be just as relevant, if not more relevant. And the interesting thing is that defeat that was going on there was turned around later. And we're going to talk about that after this clip. But I'm going to go ahead and, unless you got something you want to add, I'm going to go ahead and let us listen. I don't have Reagan's CPAC speech, but I have his 1975 Young Americans for Freedom speech, which is very similar. Do you want to hear that?
No, you bet. No, that's good. Go ahead.
All right. We'll be back on the other side of this. Folks, enjoy Ronald Reagan.
Maybe you and I have done better than we know. Those of us who talk of conservatism, because the great majority of the people today believe with us. They may not be able to put a label on it, but their approach to the various policies of government is the same as ours. Now, this was evidenced in the 1974 election, disastrous as it was, when we look at the liberal candidates who campaigned and who won by espousing the same philosophy that we have taught for so many years. When they wet their fingers and held them up in the political wind, they found there was no longer a market for the old-fashioned cliches of the New Deal and the Great Society and all the other social tinkering that's gone on for the last 40 years. They were against deficit spending in the campaign, but what we have to be on guard for is the fact that now they are voting for a $100 billion deficit in the budget. There was an incumbent senator from the Middle West who ran on a platform for re-election in which he opposed gun control and busing, and since returning to Washington, he's voted for both. They say that politics is the second oldest profession. Sometimes it bears a great resemblance to the first. Our responsibility now is to point out every discrepancy between the campaign promise and the post-election performance of these people who sang our song. It's time to quit trying to organize the same old minority every 2 years and start informing the new majority every day who has been responsible for bringing us to the brink of disaster, economic disaster. Our task is now one of education and information. We no longer have to sell our philosophy. And I submit that the Republican Party has the great opportunity to do this. We have a concrete example to hold up for comparison. A great nation with a land mass greater than our own, rich in natural resources, 250 million capable people. And for more than 50 years, they have been free to fully implement and put into practice without hindrance or interference all the principles of socialism. And we could be just like them, but it would take a little doing on our part. We'd have to start by cutting our paychecks 80%, move 33 million workers back to the farm, destroy 59 million television sets, tear up 14 out of 15 miles of highway and two-thirds of our railroad track, junk 19 out of 20 automobiles, rip out 9/10 of our telephones, and tear down 70% of our houses. And then all we'd have to do is find a capitalist country that would sell us wheat on credit so we wouldn't starve. You know, in spite of all our greatness, our people feel a sense once again, or a desire to feel a sense of greatness, a sense and a pride in their own capacity for performing great needs. We Republicans, I think, can do something about this, but not if we try to be all things to all people. There are some in our midst who've suggested that we should broaden our base, except that what they mean by broadening our base is to blur the image, to make us indistinguishable from the other party. Some have suggested that the 1974 election, the disastrous results, were an indictment of what we stand for. Well, may I suggest that the meaning of the last election will not be found among those who voted. It will be found in my polling those who stayed home, the biggest non-voter bloc in our nation's history. And why did they stay home? Well, because they said they couldn't see any difference between the two parties. I think they're basically wrong, but I think this is also an indication of what our answer should be to those who would make us more like the opponents. I am a convert to Republicanism. I spent most of my adult life as a Democrat, and I can testify that when I found I could no longer follow the leadership of the Democratic Party, I became a Republican not because the parties were the same, but precisely because they were different. More than half of those who didn't vote have been polled and say it no longer makes any difference which party wins. Now some have taken another course. There are some among us, and I respect their views, who suggest that that means an end to the Republican Party, that we should form a new third party. May I suggest an alternative to that? Let's have a new first party, a Republican Party, raising a banner of bold colors, no pale pastels, a banner instantly recognizable as standing for certain values which will not be compromised. Yes, we must broaden our base, but let's broaden it the way we did in 1972, because those Americans, Democrats and Independents and Republicans, are still out there looking for a banner around which to rally. And we have what they want, what they're seeking, but they don't know that. And sometimes I wonder if we know it.
Wow. Bold colors, no pale pastels. And that speech could be given by any conservative Republican today, and it would make just as much sense. And folks, we're talking about nearly 40 years ago when Reagan gave that speech. Pretty amazing, right, Chris?
You know what I find amazing? Is that when what he was talking about, the economy, the loss, why they lost, what the opposition party was saying, the gun control, the increased deficit, it is history. You relive it over and over and over again. Why? Because people don't change.
Well, we never do. We haven't changed since the garden.
Yeah. No, I thought that was amazing. Yeah.
And we don't pay attention to these things. I mean, remember, like, you know, everybody from Barack Obama to Mitt Romney to every other douchebag in politics invokes Reagan these days, right? But does anybody actually listen to Reagan himself? No, right? We just, you know,
Newt does.
Well, Newt is a phenomenal strategist and a real conservative. But here's the thing. That speech indicates the massive problems we're facing now, and actually I think it was Ted Cruz, and we have a clip of that we'll play later, talked about how last time where we are right now happened, the economy was anemic, growing at the same 0.08% or 0.8%. I mean, he just played it out and showed how we're kind of here again. There's one major, major difference. Back then, we were a year away from our final severing of our currency backed by gold.
Yeah.
Now we're nearly 43 years into that. And no nation in the history of the world has ever floated fiat currency for this long. Not Weimar Germany, not Argentina, not Australia, nowhere. And if I'm not mistaken, I think right now there's violence being done to ATM machines, and if I'm not mistaken, Cyprus, because people are afraid their cash is going to be gone. So it's very dangerous in that regard, but there's no need to be frightened by it, because the very simple fact is sometimes, like a crack addict. What did Bush call the guy from Meet the Press? I think crack addict, right, or heroin addict. You got to hit bottom before you realize what's going on. And the dollar's getting pretty close to bottom. And
well, you
I
saw
don't know
that
that's necessarily a bad thing. Go ahead.
Did you see that article that I posted yesterday? It was some January economic stuff, and Germany's recalling all of its gold from around the world.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And they're the second largest holder of gold in the world.
Yeah. You know where they kept most of their gold?
Big chunk of it here.
Yeah, New York and Paris.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know why, right? See, here's the thing, by the way. I just want to point out for all you libertarian kids, impressionable libertarian kids in your college dorms, and the rest of you wacko birds, okay? What Reagan was talking about in the middle of his speech was something called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Y'all might not be that familiar with it because it sort of disappeared in 1989, but that was a large, massive nation of 150 million, maybe it's 200 million back then, people living under decades of communism. And if you look in your history textbooks today, they'll have a sentence about Reagan, and they'll spend the rest of the time talking about the great perestroika glasnost reformer, Mikhail Gorbachev, who happens to have an office at the Presidio in San Francisco, where he is head of some kind of international environmental movement or something, you know. So, you know, just keep in mind that all the reds of the 80s, you know, became watermelons. They're green on the outside, solid red on the inside, and
well,
they're still out there.
Agenda 21 is the new communism.
There it is. Yep, you're absolutely right. Now, the interesting thing is, why did Soviet communism collapse? Well, because communism always collapses, because eventually you run out of other people's money. But the real pressure came because of a couple of things. One, England went conservative for the first time post-World War II, right? Kind of like they're being austere now, right? And
yeah, they sure swung back pretty quick.
Yeah, well, they do. The Republicans had just been handed their ass because they no longer were conservative. And interestingly enough, there was an election in a conclave of Catholic cardinals for a new pope when John Paul passed away, and they had an election for a new pope, and it was a surprising pope, Chris, because, you know, for 400 years the Catholic Church has been electing Italian bishops for the most part to the papacy, and then all of a sudden they elected a Pole, Karol Wojtyla, the Archbishop of Krakow, which was under communist rule.
Isn't that what Newt's, didn't Newt do a special on that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he absolutely did two of them, one on just Blessed John Paul II and one on three people. And those three people are Blessed John Paul II, Margaret Thatcher, Ronald Reagan, who worked tirelessly together to defeat Soviet communism. Now, everybody's, oh, yes, communism's dead. Well, except for this, you know, 1.3 trillion people living under it in, say, China, and, of course, all the communists that are now, despite McCarthy's chagrin, roaming the halls of Washington, D.C.
Okay.
But look at the parallels, right? Handed your ass, no longer conservative, rhinos have taken over, new pope, that's a surprise, because remember that the Catholic Church just elected the first pope from the New World, you know, he took the name of Francis, which is a reformer, and so it's kind of parallel. Like you said, history repeats, it's kind of parallel. Now, it's not exactly the same, it's not going to play out exactly the same, but it's important for us to know these things. Well, back then, Germany was split after World War II, and if you're not sure why, look up Operation Keel Haul, and it'll give you some insights into why this happened. I don't think it was absolutely necessary, but, you know, conspiracy theories aside, it looks like people had a different agenda other than the one that was publicly stated, and that's another show for another day. But Germany was split, and you had the DDR, right, and you had West Germany, right? And so the West Germans, being aligned with the West, were afraid that the DDR, which was aligned with Moscow, might, you know, get a little uppity and invade, and so they would lose their gold. So they put it on deposit in the United States in New York and in Paris. Now they want it back.
Well, I think isn't part of that too, I don't mean to interrupt you, but isn't part of that too that they will have gold deposits in major markets too when they're dealing with exchanges and money exchanges and trade deals also, correct?
Yep. Yeah. You're absolutely right. But here's the interesting thing. They want it back predominantly because we've exported all of Bernanke's inflation to Europe, which is why we don't feel it all that bad. But we will, okay, because people say, inflation hasn't been that bad. Well, I mean, it kind of sucks. Go to the grocery store. Your bill's at least 7 or 8% higher than it was last year, but that's not even nearly close to what our inflation has been. Remember, inflation is the increase in the quantity of money without a sufficient increase in the amount of wealth output, therefore each dollar unit is worth less, so it costs more to buy the same stuff. Well, we've exported most of that to Europe, bailing them out. Now, here's the interesting thing. Places like Greece and Portugal and Italy are being bailed out at the expense of places like, Germany, right? Yeah. And the Germans are like, screw this, we want our gold back. Well, Paris and New York told them, okay, we'll get it back to you, but it's going to take 5 years. Now, I know that sometimes things can go slow.
That's because they got to go out and get more gold to replace the gold they no longer have.
Exactly. Where'd they go?
Sorry.
Gee, I wonder why there are French troops ferreting out Al Qaeda in Mali. Because Mali doesn't have so much Al Qaeda, but they do have a lot of gold. I don't know if you want to put those two things together or not, but it's fairly plausible. But the media won't give you this stuff because
let me throw this in. Here's something that people need to understand. When you go around the different Facebook groups and you read all the posts and all the comments and you look at all the emotionally driven things of, this isn't right and our freedoms and poor people and all these things that we get caught up in, the emotional side of right and wrong. Governments don't give a crap about that. The only reason they give a crap about it is because you demand it. The bottom line is the governments function by economics and by statistics. And so I think one of the challenges that people need to understand is that if you ever wonder what's going on, follow the money. Just like what you said in Mali, they think it was some human rights issue. If we cared about Africa, corporations would have been in Africa and governments spending billions or trillions of dollars decades ago. Those people live in abject poverty. They live, some of them, in the Stone Age, so they're hotbeds for things like Al-Qaeda and stuff like that, and to be taken over, and warlords, and all the atrocities we see, and you think that in this modern world, we'd have fixed that stuff by now. You got to follow the money. Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to throw that in.
No, you're right. I think that's something we learned from Bob Woodward and from Deep Throat, follow the money. And, the thing is that Africa's got no shortage of money. We've been sending a shitload of money there for a long, long time. In fact, any African that really loves their continent and wants to see their countries flourish is telling you to stop sending the friggin' money because it keeps going to finance warlords, corrupt regimes, and basically resource plunder for transnational corporations, and that's why their economies are so screwed up.
Well, China's moving into Africa pretty fast.
Sure. Why not? why not? If there's an opportunity, they're going to jump on it. Remember, the Chinese are absolutely communist. However, internationally, they are quite apt to take advantage of things in a capitalistic way.
Well, you know why. I'm sorry. History again. But Hong Kong, the one of the most prosperous environments the English ever set up in their empire was Hong Kong. And they walked away and handed that machine, which is the center of economic and trade dollar, for the East. And now China owns it.
Yep. I would say that
China, China wasn't prosperous. Hong Kong was. That gave them everything they needed to move into the world. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, but I would say that the most prosperous economy that was set up by the British Empire were these 13 agrarian colonies in the newly discovered continents.
Yeah. I'm thinking about
we kind of told them what's for and sent them packing back across the Atlantic.
Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, no,
I'm thinking in our era, though, you know, from Second World War forward.
Oh yeah, you know. Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, the thing is, it's real simple, right? People sometimes freak out. What do you mean by free market? What do you mean by capitalism? Sometimes these terms get conflated. But it's real simple. There's really no such thing as a free market. All right, what you have is free individuals with the liberty that God gave us, secured by our associations together, to associate or disassociate as we see fit, to trade or not trade as we see fit, to acquire property, barter it away, sell it, keep it, inherit it, or whatever.
To invent.
Well, yeah, of course you're going to invent, because we're creative by nature. We were made for work, and work is necessarily creative, but the only thing that impedes it is when people crush that freedom. So when we talk about free markets, you're really not talking about an abstract market. You're talking about people in the market, and that's what liberty is about. And this is the message that the Republicans have flubbed up so royally. Nobody trusts them. Nobody likes them. And frankly, they're up there in D.C. with deficit spending, debt spending, capitulation to all the crappy policies of the left, and they're just corporatists in general. And on the other side, you know, you honest liberal, quote, progressives, whatever, you know, your party savior, you know, Obama, he ain't so liberal. He's kind of, you know, a banker's tool, just like the rest of them. So, you know, wake up.
Yeah, and he loves pushing them drone buttons.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's the thing. And, I mean, you know, Rand Paul made a, big, fantastic 13-hour filibuster on the floor. We talked about it last week over drones. But it really wasn't about drones, and that's kind of what he said. This is about liberty versus tyranny. It's an age-old battle, and it's one that the Republicans have not been fighting. But Rand Paul wants to fight that battle. I think Ted Cruz wants to fight that battle.
Oh,
what's getting in their way? Well, it's something called the CLEC. What's a CLEC, Rex? A CLEC is a term coined by Pat Caddell, who is a Democrat. He still is a Democrat. But he's a Democrat who's fed up with Barack Obama. And, in fact, I think someone asked that he spoke at CPAC, right? This is a Democrat. He spoke at CPAC. You can see him usually on that unfair and unbalanced news network called Fox News. But he was asked, well, you know, why should we as Republicans take advice from you, a Democrat? And he said, I'm not a fan of Barack Obama. My first allegiance is to my country. I have paid a huge price. Democrats now friggin' hate him. And when I watch you people, meaning you, quote, alleged conservatives, when I watch you people screwing up, I'm offended. And you want to know something? Having not been a Republican myself, I'm friggin' offended for ever having affiliated with you people in just by voting for some of your candidates. I mean, if you are the party of Reagan, and you are the party of Gingrich, and you are the party of Ron Paul, what the hell are you doing with Priebus, McConnell, Boehner, and those stale, old moss, stale, whatever the hell they are, McCain and Lindsey Lightness Loafers Graham. I mean, there's nothing conservative about it. And Pat Caddell just called it out, and he ripped into this CLEC, which is the Consultant, Lobbyist, and Establishment Complex. And he's basically said that they have taken over, pointing specifically at that snake oil salesman, Carl the Architect Rove. And I love that Sarah Palin told the guy to pack his bags and get the hell out. That was fantastic. You caught that, right?
Oh, it was amazing. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came back and attacked her almost immediately.
Yep. Well, he'll, you know, He has to. He's got to try to keep himself relevant. He's never liked her. You know, a lot of people don't like Sarah Palin. A lot of people do. And for you folks who aren't liberals and Democrats but are, quote, on the right, whether you're libertarians, conservatives, or what have you, do not underestimate Sarah Palin. She is a very powerful woman. I don't know what her future is as far as holding office, but she can put people in office. And take a look, for example, at Ted Cruz. He's
Rand
not
Paul.
There by accident. Rand
Paul.
Paul. Okay. She
Rubio.
Certainly has a huge influence.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about
she's
that.
A king. She's a kingmaker.
Yeah.
You know what I was going to do was I was going to put together a list of everybody that she has endorsed and got in office. People don't understand her involvement in the Tea Party movement. You know, it wasn't just Congress. It was state levels, everything else. But it would be interesting to actually have a list compared to Karl Rove's lack of success. You know, he thinks he sets the architect. And look at the people that she's endorsed and helped get in office.
Sure. Well, you Palinistas out there, you Palin earthquake people, if you got that information, you want to do a show on it, give us a call and let's do that. Yeah.
I just don't think Chris, people understand her. Go ahead, sorry.
No. I was going to say, we're 20 minutes at the top of the hour, so I'm just going to throw out the number for anybody who wants to call in and chime in about CPAC, especially regarding this CLEC, the Consultant Lobbyist Establishment Complex that has destroyed conservatism in this party, in effect killed this party, and now it's a question of whether this thing is worth resurrecting or if we go another way. Obviously, if we look at someone like Reagan or even Gingrich, they're telling us revitalize the you know, first party, don't go third party. But, you know, I'm inclined to have all parties. You know, why not multiple conservative parties, multiple libertarian parties? Let's have more voices, not less. But the call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. You can chat with Chris from Coalition of Freedom and Rex. Tex is on special assignment somewhere in the Imperial City, and he might be joining us later. Now, here's the amazing thing, right, before we get back to Pat Goodell. Reagan gave that speech that we just played a little while ago, which is worth listening to again. I mean, I've heard it several times, and it's just more relevant every time. And he was basically saying this party is defeated. I mean, it's utter chaos, and there's really no conservatism here. And we're crappy at messaging, and people aren't, even though they identify as conservative, you know, our guys aren't winning because they say they're conservative and then they go act like typical statists when they get into Washington.
Why bother voting, which is exactly what we had happen to us this time.
Yep. What is it, 90 million people didn't bother?
Yep. And Reagan was talking about that in the speech. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, no, same thing. So, but what happened? Well, remember, this is 10 years after Goldwater, right? Who was not establishment choice, and he went on and lost, and of course they blamed Goldwater for that loss, when the fact is that, I mean, let's face it, JFK got shot, so people were like, oh, crap, this is emotional, we want to revitalize Camelot. They voted for Democrats. But in any event, that's 10 years after the Goldwater campaign, 74, 75, right? It wasn't until 1980 that Reagan got into the White House, despite the fact that the CLEC, led by, at that time I would say, George H.W. Eat My Shorts, No New Taxes Bush, right? And Reagan got in there, and they just didn't want him in there. And so they jammed Bush onto that ticket, and basically kind of between Bush's insiders in the White House and Dole in, well, it wasn't Dole at the time, but, you know, the rhinos in the Senate, they screwed up, you know, Reagan's agenda. But nevertheless, we got more conservative things done then than we'd seen in decades. The peak of that, the pinnacle of that revitalization of bold colors that Reagan was talking about, and no, it's not perfect, folks, so let's not start nitpicking. Most of the problems that happened were really the rhinos, but that's besides the point. It was overwhelmingly more conservative than it had been. The pinnacle of that happened in 1994, 20 years after Reagan gave that speech. What happened in 94? Anybody remember?
The Republicans won
the House. For the first time in more than 60 years, thanks to one upstart who started his career right before Reagan got into the White House, named Newton Leroy Gingrich. Say what you want about him. I know some of you think he's a neocon. You don't like him. Others love him. The fact is, just look at it objectively, he delivered what he said he would deliver. It took some time, but in 1994, he delivered a majority based on a conservative agenda, okay, at least significantly more conservative than anything else you'd seen. He gave us the contract with America, and he delivered on all 10 points, including a balanced budget amendment. It was Dole, Bob Dole, and the Senate and the rhinos and this damn CLEC that screwed that up. And not more than 4 years, 5 years later, what did they do to Newt, Chris?
Well, they basically turned him into public enemy number one, you know. It was pretty sad.
They got rid of him.
I've studied that whole era extensively. It was the Republicans. It was Boehner.
Boehner.
Yeah, some of his buddies. Aren't you happy
yep.
with Boehner now?
That useless piece of crying beef jerky was one of the ones who got Newt out. Now, the peak was 94, right? This is when Republicans actually mattered and they were doing stuff, right?
And they rewon the House. They rewon
yeah.
the House, which was
yeah.
The
everybody
first
said,
time
"Well, people didn't like what you did." Well, apparently,
that's why
they did.
Rewon, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Chris, we got rid of Newt, right? Here we are, nearly 20 years later, and we're right back where we were when Reagan gave that speech. 20 years.
Oh yeah, that speech.
20 years.
Yeah.
Right. It's 40 years of CPAC. So, and what happens generally in demographics, since the CLEC loves to talk about these demographics. What happens in demographics over a 20-year period? You got a new generation, right?
Yep.
So we had a generation that was defeated. 20 years later, we had a generation that was triumphant. Here we are 20 years later, utterly defeated, thanks to Karl Rove, the CLEC, and some loser named Romney. So the real question you have to ask yourself is, what do you want the next 20 years to look like? Do you want Barack Obama's successor, John Boehner's successor, Harry Reid's successor to keep sending us down this road so that we'll be...
Paul Ryan's fake budget plan?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to
Harry,
his credit,
I had
right?
I throw that in there.
To his credit, Chris, he did introduce one that was going to balance the budget in 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's moved it to 10. But I know a guy who says he'll do it in 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, is that the future you want to see? Or do you want to see a future where the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, where the states have more autonomy and more authority, where spending is controlled, where we are not sending our young men and women across the globe to fight wars without definition or terms, right?
You mean for the bankers?
For the banker, banksters' wars.
Not for human rights, but for the bankers. People
right.
need to understand that.
Absolutely. You know, that's the thing. And the fact is, and we can, you know, have a debate about whether we should have gone into Iraq, not gone into Iraq, was Afghanistan, you know, where Al-Qaeda was. Yes, it was. How should you have handled it? It's a whole different story than whether you should have done something. You know, sometimes everybody, you know, something bad happens, like, you know, school shooting or something. We've got to do something. Well, we don't have to do anything. We have to do something specific. So don't get excited. You need to focus and do the right thing, not just anything. Okay? But the fact is that the Democrats are gone. You know, for all, well, I don't know how many, you know, progress/liberals listen to this show, but, you know, for your progressive liberal friends who are still voting Democrat, there's nothing liberal or progressive about Democrats. They're statist corporatists who are pro-war, anti-civil rights, and anti-sound economics of actually helping the downtrodden, even though that's what they say. They screw people left and right, you know. It was under Bush and Obama that we sent Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner up Schitt's Creek with an upside-down mortgage and gave billions of dollars to the bankers, who then turned around
well,
and collected money from you.
You study the stuff and I study it, but, you know, we have these economic cycles, these crashes every, I don't know, 8 to 12 years. And every time that we go through this, we bail the banks out. Every flipping time. I've lost millions of dollars every time these cycles go up and down over the years.
Well, that's the method. You privatize, you know, the profits, and you socialize the losses, which is why we keep tacking on more and more debt, because you're socializing the losses, which is why they take these ridiculous risks. Well, what do you do about it? Well, the simple fact is, if you don't want the, quote, Democrat Party to have ascendancy, well, do you want the Republican Party to? Because I can tell you this, I don't, not this Republican Party. I don't want to see more John Boehners, Mitch McConnells, John McCain's, and Lindsey Graham's.
Cantor,
Ryan. But there are some young, vibrant, wacko birds, right? Like Senator Rand Paul, Senator Ted Cruz, Congressman Justin Amash, Gohmert, I can't agree with them on everything, but in general, they're at least moving us back towards the Constitution. This kind of movement is not going to spring up in the Democrat Party. On the national stage, it could happen in the Republican Party, but they don't want that to happen. The Karl Roves and the Mitt Romneys and the guys financing this stuff, they don't want that to happen. The only way it's going to happen is if you make it very clear to them. Not only are you not going to send them money, you're not going to do any work for them. You are going to starve this beast unless they actually start doing conservative things and broadening the base, not by appealing to people on their skin color or their genitals or some stupid identity crap like that, but how about presenting the idea of maximum liberty, of free economics, okay, where you're free to do what you want to do in the market. You're free to hire and contract where you want. You're free to hire and contract whomever you need. You're free to buy and sell what you want. Where the tax burdens are lower, where the regulation burdens are lower, where there's no crap like Agenda 21 and all this other shit, and where you can express yourself the way you want to express yourself. Because, folks, believe me, they don't want this to happen. They don't want more voices. They want less. They don't want more freedom. They want more control. That's why we got this whole drone thing. Okay? So you have to make that happen. And the way you make that happen is you take this momentum that we got at CPAC and you start supporting those who actually stood up and you hammer the shit out of all of those who've been screwing it up, like Karl Rove. Don't let him come back and apologize for his conservative victory project and say, oh, no, no, I support the Tea Party. I helped elect Rand Paul. No, he didn't.
Oh, my God.
Karl Rove hates Rand Paul. And you know what? Maybe you don't particularly like Rand Paul. Maybe he's not your cup of tea. Maybe you don't like Newt Gingrich. Maybe you never liked Ron Paul. Maybe you don't like Ted Cruz. I don't care. At least they are standing up and trying to move the ball in the right direction. So right now, the fight is not about any nitpicky little pet peeve issue that you've got. This fight is about one thing and one thing only. Will we have a party on the national stage that respects the Constitution or not? And 20 years from now, we'll either see a resurgence of the Republic, or it's entirely possible that this country will be gone. It's that simple.
I agree. Yeah. Looking at the comments that have gone on around the CPAC event, and watching people's, you know, who they favored, who they, you know, their criticisms and their, you know, skepticisms. And, you know, that is what will defeat us. You have got to find the common threads amongst the people, you know, whether you know, you spit out a bunch of names. You know, what is Palin's strengths? What does she bring to the table? What is Rand Paul's strengths? What is, I know you don't like him or love him, but, you know, what are Rubio's strengths? What are these, you know, the young the young Republicans under 40. There was a guy that was in the House, West Virginia, 23 years old. There was the head of Oklahoma House. He was the House Speaker, 34 years old. You know, the young mayor of Saratoga Springs, she was a young black woman, I don't know, maybe 30. She was the mayor. They had all those people speaking. You know,
sure.
there are good people out there across this country, and you may not agree with every little issue, but if it's Constitution, if it's empowering the states, if it's limited government, you know, getting a new perspective on what the hell we're doing in the world, you know, because I'm all for a strong America.
Sure.
I'm sick to death. You know, people don't understand this, but when you spend billions and billions and billions of dollars a year protecting countries, when you look at the European Union, they match our economics. You know, their gross national product equals us. What in the hell are we doing being their military? What you know why socialism in Europe even formed?
Because they don't have to spend money on the military.
We spent all the money on the military protecting their asses. So they had that money that we, you know, that instead of spending on their own military to protect themselves, they were able to start doing all these damn programs.
Yep.
We funded socialism trying to be the big brother of the frickin' world. And people, you know, you've got to learn this stuff. You've got to understand some of these basic things. I don't think we meant for that to happen, but that was an unintended consequence. You know, we did our job, and they never paid us back for the money we lent them to rebuild the damn Europe after we saved their asses, and then they sit around and complain about us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
well,
people,
take it a step further, right? We're sending F-16s and military weapons and training and all this stuff to Egypt.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
and they hate us. I mean, not all Egyptians. I would argue that most of the Egyptian people probably don't hate us, but the regimes do, and there's a certain faction of, you know, Muslim jihadists that want to kill us. I guarantee you that the 10%, you know, Coptic, well, not just Coptic, but mostly Coptic Christian population of Egypt likes us, but, you know, they're suffering at the hands of a revolution that we essentially fomented.
They're begging for us, you know, to help them out while they're getting their homes and their churches burned and being abused and murdered.
Yeah, but we're not helping them. We're sending money to, you know, well, the military is not controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, give me a break.
That
okay?
sounds
give me,
like yeah,
give me. Give me a effing break, okay? This is all crap. It's all bullshit. But, okay,
yeah.
So let's just take it a step back, Chris. Let's set aside our libertarian hat, our conservative hat, our Republican hat. Let's set aside our favorite guy, whether it's Rubio Cruz, one of the Pauls, Gingrich, whatever. And let's go outside of the camp. All right, let's go to Pat Caddell. He's a Democrat. You know,
he's awesome.
I mean, generally speaking, he would have loved – I mean, look, he ran campaigns against Republicans. So generally speaking, he loves to see Republicans implode. But he saw something that scared him with the rise of the Obama machine. And when I say that, I'm referring to the administration because, folks, all this fear-mongering about Barack Obama, he's the Antichrist, he's Muslim, he's going to be a dictator.
All this,
you know what? Who gives a shit, okay? He's just a guy, you know, crappy golf player, crappy basketball player who enjoys the trappings of the office. He's not the problem, okay? He's just exactly what Chris just said. He's just the current puppet of a regime that is trying to destroy the country. And frankly, he can't even do it unless your Republican-controlled House funds him. So who's the problem? The guy with the screwed-up agenda or the guy that pays for that agenda?
You know,
think
when we were
–
back in my drug and alcohol rehab work days that I spent several years of my life working in, we used to have this basic fundamental principle that we live by, and that was you never gave a relapsing alcoholic cash. If they were down and out and they needed help, you would go to the store with them and buy them food and help them and be a good you know, a good person, but you never handed a relapsing alcoholic or drug addict cash. That's a fundamental principle. And so what we have is John Boehner handing Obama everything he has asked for. You know, he grumps and cries and whines and moans and gets up and says something. I never can understand what he says, mumbles in his beer, you know, and then he turns around and he hands it to him. Okay, so who are you going to blame? Obama? You can spend the rest of your life blaming Obama. You can spend the next 4 years posting Obama articles and Obama conspiracies, or you can get busy fixing our side of the house. Because if you got a traitor or traitors in your military behind where you're supposed to be safe, not doing their job, that you don't need to be worrying about the enemy on the other side of the front. You know, the traitor in your house is more dangerous to you. I don't know why people spend all day every day crying Obama crap. That's why we got Romney. That's why we lost. Was the fear of Obama.
O'Reilly and Hannity and all those other asshats tell people to be afraid of Obama. You know, they bring it up all the time. Look, I'm no fan. I don't think Chris is a fan either, and I'm not defending the guy, okay? But he only got so much time and so many resources. He won. Is he an illegal? Is he not qualified? It's kind of pointless right now. He won, and by the time you sort it all out, he's going to be out of office anyway. So if you want to make sure that when we get rid of the guy in 2016, because he is leaving, okay, and don't, there'll be no election, you know, come on, that's not going to happen, because they don't do that. They'll find another puppet, probably in the Republican Party, to replace him and continue the agenda. I mean, think of it this way, right? This dumbass, okay, is currently serving George W. Bush's fourth term. There's no difference. Okay, so they'll just put in a, you know, they'll give you Jeb Bush in 2016. You'll vote him in thinking, oh, everything will turn around and it'll be the same shit. And, of course, then the Democrats will be anti-war again. It's crap, you know?
I'm sorry. It's like a comedy show.
It's ridiculous.
Sorry, you got me going there.
It's ridiculous. So
you know what the most ridiculous? Ridiculous? And now we have that too, but the most ridiculous thing is the way Republicans and conservatives get caught up in this shit. You need to focus on the things that you can solve. You can't fix Obama. You can't fix the social. And I've said this now for a year. I've written 35,000 posts in a year. All right. And I've said this all the way back in January of 2012 when I got seriously involved in blogging and posting around the primary. I said, quit focusing on Obama. We've had communists and socialists, including a communist party and a socialist party, in this country since the turn of the century. You have to look at history. The reason we're freaked out is because they got in power. Why did they get in power? Let me give you a name, four-letter word, B-U-S-H. He screwed it up. He spent more money as a president. Everybody bitches about Obama. What did Bush add, $5 trillion to our deficit? Endless wars, the TSA, Patriot Act. I mean, come on, folks, you've got to get real. The enemy was there before Obama showed up.
Yeah, well, the Tea Party, remember, Tea Party started before Obama won, right? It started with George Bush's TARP and Hank Paulson and all that crap. But, you know, in defense, I'm going to throw W a little solid here and defend him kind of the way I just defended Obama. It wasn't Bush, okay? He was just the idiot puppet of the time, just like Obama's the idiot puppet of the time now, okay?
The simple fact
is there is a machine that controls both parties, that keeps putting up these, you know, cosmetic difference so you can go cheerlead and wave your Gadsden flag and get all pumped up and excited that your guy's going to get in there. Oh, Marco Rubio's way more conservative than Charlie Crist. My fucking left shoe is more conservative than Charlie Crist. That's not an accomplishment, okay? So, you know, quit falling for this, okay, and start focusing up on those who are actually saying stuff like, maybe we should spend less money instead of just not spending that much more. You know, like this whole sequester thing. Oh, the cut. There's no cut. They're just spending a little bit less than the more they were going to spend, which they didn't have in the first place, putting you and your kids in hock. Okay? And you have to wake others up, because most of this country may sense that something is wrong, but they're pointing fingers at the wrong things. They're not doing anything about it. You got to wake them up. You got to tell them, look, we got to find and support constitutionalists wherever you can find them. And Chris, I think Pat Caddell explained the machine that is destroying our chance of having a kind of politician like that. You got something to add before we leave?
He nailed it. Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing. You know, you remember when they kicked the crap out of Newt for not jumping up and down and drooling all over Paul Ryan's first 28-year budget plan?
Maybe
for that.
Yeah.
Well, remember Newt said that that nobody's going to want right-wing.
Yeah, right-wing social engineering. Right? Chris? Did I lose you? All right. Well, hopefully Chris will come back and continue that point on the other side. Here we're going to listen to 3.5 minutes on Pat Caddell. This is not the best recording, but it was hard to find. Limbaugh was looking for it. Ron Paul's people were looking for it. I was scouring it, but Politichicks found it. And here's 3.5 minutes. This is Pat Caddell speaking at CPAC in a breakout session that I believe was called something like Should We Shoot All the Consultants? And feel free to chime in. Call in when you can, 646-649-1013. Should we shoot all the consultants? Rex's vote is hell yeah. Here's Pat Caddell.
When you have the chief of staff of the RNC and the political director of the Romney campaign, there are two companies. There are two companies. Took $152 million out of the end of the campaign for the fantastic get out the vote, voter outreach. You didn't see the Obama campaign doing that, did you? The very chief of staff who was going to manage for the RNC poll what went wrong in the election. You get my point? The whole thing about this, the Senate stuff, crossroads, what a disaster. Hundreds of millions of dollars wasted in losing it, and the people, no one has held responsible. Rand Paul gets reelected unanimously. Mitch McConnell presides over a Senate campaign disaster, is elected without opposition. These are going to be asking yourself, what are you in business for? Politics like war, if you can't win, get the hell gone. But you don't, you people put up with it on table. Because ultimately, the end is a simple matter of all of these things and these consultants, and they're all have arrangements with each other. You have one media guy doing Crossroads, AFP, and the ads for the Romney Super PAC. And they're all at bad ads. What now? You know why? Because it's all self-dealing going on. And somebody needs to say, as I said, I think it works on the Greek of it, but the people I blame for that are not the consultants. They're just the worst. Well, whatever you want to call them. They're in the business of lining their pockets and preserving their power. I don't can't say anything better, worse about Karl Rove than Newt Gingrich wrote in his newsletter recently. What is he doing? He's going to tell the Republican Party what to do after what he's done to it? You know, I will say this, because I didn't have this kind of picture in the 7 minutes, and I'll wrap it up with this. I'll tell you what I blame. The donors who allow themselves to be played for marks. You people in the grassroots who allow yourselves to be played for suckers, and most of all of you for enabling them, because you allow it to happen. You don't tell candidates you won't give them work, you won't support them, you won't give them money if they're going to be part of this. The Republican Party has a question. It's either going, the country doesn't need two Washington parties. As I used to say, they'll always figure out the real one over the ersatz one every time. If you can't be the anti-Washington, anti-establishment party, and that complex, that lobbyist, consultant, establishment complex, will not allow that to happen. They're all here playing games with you this week, these few days. Well, you're gone. There's 70% of the country hates the political class. They want to preserve it. Mr. Quinn and Mr. Gillespie worked together very well. As the Senator Lott, who left to go to business with John Brough. If you think that's for the good of the country, you're all, you know, then you deserve what you get. And I want to tell you, it's time for you to stop being Marxists, it's time to stop being suckers. It's time for you people to get real.
Note to the ACU and to C-SPAN, when you have somebody who's doing something as controversial as shooting all the consultants or saying something like this, have somebody in there professionally recording it, you friggin' fools. We have to get it off someone's phone. The audio sucks. So, Chris, we'll clarify. The article, by the way, that Breitbart has and a couple of others that talk about this.
I'll throw
stuff,
it.
They're on the photo pick on Facebook that promotes this show. It's also on the Tex and Rex page and also in Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia, so check them out. Chris, right before we listen to Pat Caudill, you were talking about what Newt said, which was right-wing social engineering is just as bad as left-wing social engineering. Why don't you go with your point, and then we'll talk about Caudill.
Well, it was just a flash that went through my mind when we were talking about, you know, the left and the right. It's the same people, you know, whether it was Bush or Obama or, you know, whatever. And I just remember, I just had this flash through my mind when Newt got the crap kicked out of him in the primary for, you know, not jumping up and down and drooling all over Paul Ryan's 28-year, you know, budget plan. And that was just something that just rolled to my mind that I wanted to comment on. It's no big deal.
I mean, no, I actually think it's a very important point because, you know, you get all this crap from people all the time. And it's just an insider, and, you know, I got to say that I can't stomach it, but I know why he's doing it. You know, he keeps throwing some kudos and praise to little clown prince pubic. you know,
he's a gracious man.
He's a gracious man, and two, he's very shrewd, and he knows that, you know, come hell or high water, they were going to put pubic in there. I mean, we tried to mount a challenge with Mark Willis, and we couldn't even get, you know, Liberty folks who got elected to state committee chairs to friggin' even just nominate Mark Willis, big friggin' sissies. You know, so you got to work with what you got to work with. Now, you know, there's an argument to be made. Why doesn't Newt and Sarah Palin go start a third party? It ain't that simple because you, Mr. and Mrs. America, haven't made the ballot access rules change in your state. There is no chance with the current rules on the national level to have an alternate party. You got to change it locally first. So until that happens, and it's up to you to do it, then you got two choices in the duopoly. You got one beast with two wings that's going to devour your country, at least, wound one of the wings. And the right wing is far easier to wound by putting in people who are actually conservative. And like it or not, you can't just be principled. And I'm not saying compromise your principles. By no means compromise your principles. But principle alone won't let you fend for yourself or your agenda in this cesspool called Washington, D.C. You got to be a shrewd politician. And you want to see an example of that? Look at Ron Paul and look at Rand Paul.
Yep.
Rand Paul has managed to move the liberty agenda in Washington further and faster in a shorter period of time than his father ever did, and that's because he's standing on his dad's shoulders, but he's got the political savvy of a Newt Gingrich. And Newt is still there, and Newt likes Rand. And I've got a clip, actually, where Newt actually gives a nod to Rand on the Peter Schiff Show. I'd like to, would love to play some of Newt's CPAC speech, but the audio on it is even worse than Pat Caudill's.
It's not as bad as Caudill's. But I wanted to throw one thing out there, that the crackling isn't that bad. It's still very clear. You know, you can hear his voice. But one thing, too, that nobody's talked about, including us, is DeMint. You know, DeMint moved to the Heritage Foundation. But also, DeMint was the mentor to those young new senators that are rocking the frickin' house in the Senate. And so you can bet your butt, knowing who he is and what he stands for and why he moved to the Heritage Foundation, that he's probably still whispering in their ears. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, yeah. I think that DeMint made a smart move by getting out of the Senate and moving to Heritage. I think that's going to be a huge external help. And internal help can be found with Speaker Newt Gingrich. And then you got your players on the field, your Rand Paul, your cruise missile, your Justin Amash, you know.
Lee.
This is what needs to be done. This is the gusto that needs to be grabbed. But what Cadell pointed out is so right on. And I mean, he went on to call out loser after loser after loser by name, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what he said, the CLEC, as he calls it, is the consultant lobbyist establishment complex. And he basically said that, actually, here's a quote, because I think he said it, but maybe you didn't get it. He said, when you have the chief of staff of the Republican National Committee and the political director of the Romney campaign and their two companies get $150 million at the end of the campaign for the, quote, fantastic get-out-the-vote program, this borders on RICO violations. It's all self-dealing going on. I think it works on the RICO thing. They're in the business of lining their pockets. And if you notice, the title of today's show is Neocon, Rhinos, RICO, and Rove. What is RICO? RICO is a, was it 1970, I believe, 1970 Act, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. It basically is designed to shut down organized crime. So essentially Pat Cadell is saying that these people are engaged in self-dealing as in an organized crime syndicate that is posing as your conservative political party, and I don't think he's too wrong. Now, I don't
Who else was discussing this way back when, the organized crime? Richard Gilbert.
With the Ron Paul thing, yeah, absolutely. Richard Gilbert was talking about that. Now, folks, I want to point out a couple of things. We mentioned some names, and names you probably don't hear often together in one context. Some names like Rand Paul, Richard Gilbert, and Newt Gingrich. But the fact is that you got to use all the arrows in your quiver, all the tools in your toolbox. You don't just pick up a hammer and go at everything in the world. Everybody comes at it from different angles, and we need to advance the cause of the Constitution, the cause of liberty, and authentic conservatism. So when we use a word like neocon, some traditional Republicans freak out. Oh, crazy conspiracy stuff. Neocon is a bad word, okay? It's not a well-thought-out word. Conservative and new don't usually go together, but in any event, neocons were effectively disaffected liberals who moved from the left over to the right. Now, one could argue, well, doesn't that make Ronald Reagan a neocon? He left the New Deal Democrats. No, because Reagan's actually conservative, and these neocons are not. They're mostly corporatists. They're mostly interested in not a strong defense power structure for the country, as in, you know, peace through strength. They're interested more in foreign adventurism, secure profits.
They love war.
Different. It is different. And, of course, when you label Newt Gingrich a neocon, he's got some neocon policies mixed up in there, and I disagree with him on those points. But he himself has been more conservative and not truly, quote, neocon. Ron Paul is definitely not neocon, but people like to call him an isolationist, when, in fact, he was a non-interventionist, and there is a significant difference. Rand Paul seems to kind of be the star child of Ron Paul Newt Gingrich because he is not labeled as an isolationist and he's not a neocon. He seems to be going right up in that sweet spot that can bring a coalition, and he said it in his speech, of people on the right, people on the left, and people in the middle, because there are certain issues, principally liberty in the Constitution, that unite a broad spectrum of political differences. And what we need to do right now is reclaim the high ground for the Constitution, and then let's go down into the floor of Thunderdome on the House and the Senate floor and all the state houses and fight the crap out of each other for our little pet peeve issues. But not until you claim the high ground. Until then, we work together. Otherwise, we lose everything.
Let me toss this in here, and this is important to know. And I haven't put together all the, you know, we have 30 governors. We have 24 states that are controlled by Republicans, you know, the House, the Senate, and the governorship. You know, there is success out there. We get all caught up in the top of the ticket, and that was a huge mistake because the top of the ticket was destined to lose. You know, you cannot RICO or buy your way to a nomination and expect to have much success off of that. And I said it way back that Romney was going to hurt our down ballot. You know, we barely, you know, we held onto the House. We lost some seats, and we didn't really gain crap in the Senate except for some of Sarah Palin's endorsements got in there anyway. Huh, interesting point. You know what I'm saying? And this is important to understand. You know, people get caught up, and here's a frustration I have when I hear people talking about the Republican Party. They go, no, I don't want to back the Republican Party. It's evil. It's parties aren't evil. You know, it's like saying a building is evil. You know, it's the people in it. And when you pull out those people and you line them up on one side and the other side, there's some damn good people who are fighting hard for this country that need our support. And it frustrates me to no end to hear people say, you know, we're just going to burn this thing down to the ground. And it's like, oh, okay, so the Democrats take over in 2014. There you go. That's really frickin' smart. You
yeah,
know, people
let's, give
get,
let's give Obama
people need, Yeah, people need to grow up. You know what I'm saying? They need to, you know, come on. You know, you need to look. And if all of these people, whether it's the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, Independents, Republicans, whatever, you need to make sure that we are getting the best people in office, you know, now. 2014 has already started. It's 2013. People are already, you know, getting ready to run. People have already made decisions to run. People have already registered. People are already collecting money. You know, unless you can run out there and build a party in the next 6 months that can give us all the House and the Senate, you know, which is physically impossible, all of us need to work together on this.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yep.
That was my
no,
rant.
No, you nailed it, Chris. I mean, and the other thing is that in some places, like right here where I'm broadcasting from, it happens in 2013. New Jersey, it happens in 2013. Special election in Massachusetts, 2013. Look, the very simple thing is, you don't want to be a Republican? I completely understand that. I'm not one. Okay, fine. Okay. Then don't be a Republican. Go join the Libertarian Party. Go join the Constitution Party. That's great. But, you know, don't build up this fantasy that y'all are going to get a majority in the House in 2014. Don't build up this fantasy that you're going to get the presidency in 2016. Why don't you work on, you know, your school boards, work on your state legislature, maybe a governorship. You know, once you get that going and you start changing the ballot rules, then maybe it's going to be a national play. So you got to be practical, okay? I would love to have seen Virgil Goode win instead of Obama or Rove's Monster. Or even Gary Johnson. That wasn't going to happen. What we were doing and what we succeeded in doing by not voting for Rove's Monster was sending a message to these CLEC assholes that we're not playing their game anymore. Now, maybe the majority of people in the country are just blind and they go vote party line. Fine. But without the grassroots, without the activists, without the independents, you cannot win. Obama got 13% less than he did in 08. The easiest guy in the history of races in this country to beat, and you couldn't do it, Carl. You couldn't.
Carter, too.
You lost.
Carter,
you
too.
You flubbed it up because we wouldn't support you. Guess what? We told you that. We told you that we wouldn't do it, and you thought we were lying. Some of us were. I know a lot of people that were in the primaries were like, if they're going to treat Newt and Ron Paul like this, we're never going to vote for Romney. Romney's the worst. And then as soon as Romney got the nod illegally, they went Romney. I'm going to put that in the past, and if they want to work together now on changing things, that's fantastic. But the very simple thing is, had Romney won, not only would all this crap that's going on right now
– we wouldn't be having this conversation of change.
No, no. Everything that Obama's
Roe
done would still be happening with
yeah.
no opposition.
And think of how much power Roe would have right now.
It'd
have been over.
He'd be in
the
charge of everything for the next 20 years.
The grassroots would have been gone. The conservatives would have been gone. CPAC would have been, the second day they had a bunch of rhinos in there, you know, speaking. Mm-hmm. And it would have been the whole damn CPAC. Think about this. You and I, you know, that's when you and I really connected was coming into the convention.
And do you remember the frustration and the anger that people had that Sarah Palin didn't speak, Newt Gingrich didn't speak, Ron Paul didn't speak?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, folks, wake the hell up. What do you think would have happened if Romney would have got the presidency? It would have been over in this country.
Yep.
There would
yep.
no longer be a conservative power in this country at all. It would have been squashed. And then we
yep.
would have gradually lost all them damn states that we won in 2010. Man,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, sometimes you got to step back and you got to look at things and quit looking at the negative and look at what has been handed you. You know, we're in the fight. We are fighting for the soul of this party and this country because we lost. And now everybody's still in the fight and freaked out because they got Obama for 4 more years. And in some ways, and don't take this wrong, but good. Now you'll get off your damn lazy asses and quit watching American Idol and get serious about the things we need to do to get our country back. You don't think that Reagan and Newt and those people who were alive during that era, this Phyllis gal that was speaking, she's been part of the conservative party since the beginning. She helped form it. And what was she doing on stage? Kicking the crap out of Rove and Romney and Ryan and all the rest of the rhinos. It was hilarious. And I'm
yep.
thinking she's got more guts and more balls than most people that I see as that claim they're conservatives. And she's been fighting this fight for over 40 years, man. She was like a great-grandma. And she had more feistiness and fight and passion. And she was naming the bad guys and telling people to get off their asses. And back to Cadell, not to get on too big of a rant on you, I'm sorry. But
no, that was great. And keep in mind that she basically almost single-handedly defeated the, quote, Equal Rights Amendment.
Yeah, this woman, I mean, that's what people, I mean, she reminds me of my grandmother. You know, that was a generation. Those are people who didn't roll over. I mean, come on, they went through the Depression. They went through the, first, you know, the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. And you don't see them whining and licking their wounds, going, oh, my God, woe is me. Come on, people, get your head out of your butt. You know, it's your country. Where else are you going to go? You know, we have a chance to win. But anyway, Cadell said something else that was very important, and you have to listen very carefully. But he was going, he blamed the voters. He goes, quit giving money to these people. Quit supporting the frickin' establishment candidate. Quit rolling over to the party. That was, you remember that in Cadell's talk? I know it was hard
I do
to
remember
hear.
That. I do remember that, and it wasn't just the issue of money, because let's face it, they got all the big corporate money. They got the Koch brothers. They got, you know, Romney.
They were begging
but,
for our money.
Yeah, they always want to fleece you. But the simple fact is what they need more than anything else, they need you to go vote, and they need you to get others to go vote too. And guess
yeah.
what? Romney and Rove couldn't close the deal because nobody, even the people who voted for him, had any semblance that the idea had a conservative bone in his body. And maybe people had fond memories of Rove from the Bush years or whatever, but he's now been exposed as a friggin' conservative assassin, and it is time to put that dog down and send him packing back to wherever the hell he came from.
You, let me add something to this Rove thing I think is important strategic-wise that people need to pay attention to. Fox is keeping Rove online. Do you know why? Because they see the battle between the conservatives, the grassroots, the viewers, you know, there's the fundamental viewers who watch it because they don't know any better. But then there's the ones that'll turn Fox successfully or turn them off. And that's us. And if you're supporting Fox, Fox is backing Rove because they want the fight. They let Rove, he's supposed to be a commentator, and they're giving him airtime to get up there and defend his personal life and his personal choices. That's not a commentator. They're keeping the fight going. So when you're turning that television on to Fox News, you're supporting that crap. Sorry, I just had to get that out there. You've got to think, folks. You know, you've got to use your brain, get off the emotional content, and get a strategy and go, who am I? What do I stand for? What do I believe? Who are the people? Who are the people that speak to my heart? I mean, because, you know, I don't agree with everything about Newt Gingrich, but he speaks to my heart, and I've looked at his life and his career and how hard he's fought for this country, and the depth of the man's brain and his strategies, and I'm going, I can back that. Palin, you know, everybody go, oh, Palin, then, oh, look, she's, you know, I mean, I hear women, you know, oh, she's always, you know, she's not aging gracefully and this and that, and I'm like going, get off of it.
That's
my God, she's put, this woman has put hundreds of people in office because she supported mm-hmm. them. She had more attacks against her than any one person, maybe next to Newt Gingrich, because Newt Gingrich was attacked pretty hard. But you know what I'm saying? And she continued to stand by what she believed, and then she went out there and served her country, served her party, served other people. You've got to pick the things and go, that touches my heart, that's character, I can back that. Okay, now who is she backing? Okay, those are the people I need to pay attention to. Do I agree with every one of them? No. You know, it's almost a level of immaturity that reminds me of a frickin' American Idol sometimes, Rex.
Well, that's
this
how
political
Chris,
idol.
Chris, that's how some people look at this crap. And you know, the first thing is by all means, every single one of you, if you're being dazzled by the blondes with the can of Aquanet in their head, you know, or that little, you know, light in his loafers shill who needs to eat a hamburger, Chef Smith, or whatever, you know, the bloviator or that cheerleader with the grin Hannity. I don't care. Turn off the Fox News. And, you know, there was something that happened at CPAC,
there's
which I really heard hardly anybody talking about. There is a network launching July 4th of this year, okay, that is going to actually be what, well, they say they're going to be what Fox News purports to be, which is fair and balanced.
Washington Post, right?
Yeah, Washington Times, definitely not the Post.
Times,
yeah, Washington
Times.
It's if I'm not mistaken, it's called One America News Network, premiering July 4th of this year. So turn off. In the meantime, turn off the Fox News. If there's something important on Fox News that you want to see, I guarantee you, if you go to Chris's page, Coalition of Freedom, someone will post it. Don't give them any ratings. Don't give them any money. They stabbed you in the back. They forced you to accept Romney over Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, and everybody else. So just don't give it to them. We've got some people popping on for some calls. We're going to be talking to CPAC folks. But real quick, I've got 3 minutes here. Brent Bozell ripping apart none other than the so-called architect, Karl Rove.
And then there's Karl Rove. Now, old Karl had a bad year last year. It happens. We all have bad years. It just so happens that Karl Rove had the worst political year in the history of man, with the worst investment return since the stock market crash of 1929. So what did he do? Take responsibility? No. He and his political consultant hacks decided to blame us instead. It wasn't hard to do, I suppose. They never were conservatives. These are the moderates who fought Goldwater in 64, Reagan in 76, and then in 1980. And since then, virtually every conservative leader at every level of public office who has dared challenge moderate or liberal Republican orthodoxy. These are the moderates who backed first Gerald Ford and then George Bush over Ronald Reagan, Arlen Specter over Pat Toomey, Charlie Crist over Marco Rubio, Dewhurst over Cruz. Rove kneecapped Christine O'Donnell after she won her primary. He's called Rick Perry's policy prescriptions toxic. He says Sarah Palin lacks gravitas. He's declared publicly that Rand Paul, quote, causes GOP squeamishness. You know what he's called you? You, my friends, are the party's nutty fringe. And now he says he wants to protect the GOP from, quote, challenges by far-right conservatives and Tea Party enthusiasts. That's you again. No wonder Media Matters has called Karl Rove the Republican voice of reason. Now, the ultimate in cynical arrogance arrived last month when Rove and his fellow professional consultants announced the formation of the Conservative Victory Project. They really thought they were going to get away with it. You can put lipstick on a pig, but a pig it remains. Conservatives met this attack, primarily Mark Levin, with a
spectacular applause.
With a thunderous nationwide broadside. And in 24 hours, he was in full retreat. "Why, I love the Tea Party," he now proclaims. "Why, some of my best friends are conservatives," he pleads. Incredibly, he cites Pat Toomey and Rand Paul as people he's helped elect. He's even stated he ran the state of Texas for Ronald Reagan in 1980, which is interesting since he never worked for Ronald Reagan in 1980. No, the last thing the GOP needs is for the anti-conservative professional political consultant class infecting its ranks, and the last thing we need as conservatives is having them infiltrating ours. But let's suppose these moderates really want to work with us. I'll break bread with them. I'll even set the table for them. But this time, and for all time, they will work with us on our terms, with our vision and our agenda. Take it or leave it. Our days of playing second fiddle to moderates are over.
How you like that, Chris? How you like that?
I loved it. When he was speaking, I was standing up saluting the flag. I mean, you know, he nailed it.
Yeah, and he wasn't pulling any punches, and that's why you got to love a guy like Brent Bozell, and you got to support him. You know, go to his pages, go to his organization. You know, you don't have to agree with everything he says. See, that's the thing. You're looking for that one thing on which you say, "Oh, you know, I happen to think gay marriage is okay. I can't agree with him." Or, you know, I think that we got to decriminalize drugs or legalize drugs. Forget it. If it's just the one, don't quit looking for the thing to find that you don't like about somebody and look at the general idea. Are they moving the ball in the direction back towards the Republic, back towards the Constitution? Hold hands, lock arms, and let's march forward and evict these foreign bastards who are bringing an alien ideology to our shores and dismantling our Republic from the inside, doing what Nikita Khrushchev couldn't do from Moscow, right here, rotting you like a cancer. And until they are gone, you nitpicking about all the little, you know, pussyfooting issues is costing us our future. Fight later. All right, I will go to look, Rick Santorum. Don't want to really bring him up because if it wasn't for Newt Gingrich's 94 revolution, we would have never had to hear from this guy, okay? And nothing against him personally, okay? I think he's a good guy. He's a good family man. He's a shitty politician, okay?
Oh, my God.
He gave a speech talking about, you know, I couldn't even really stomach listening to it because I can't take it. But, you know, talking about problems with, quote, libertarian ideology. Well, you know, I have problems with, quote, libertarian ideology, too. However, I will shake hands, hug them, and walk with them in order to restore the Constitution. And then we can fight it out. See, the thing is, if your ideas are so good and your philosophy, whether it's a religious philosophy, a secular philosophy, whatever your ideas are, if they're so good, they will stand up to scrutiny in the free marketplace of ideas. And they don't need to be forced upon anybody. But right now we don't have that option. So whatever you champion, fantastic. You know, go out there and do it. But right now, you got no shot. It's corporatism. It's Keynesianism. It is foreign adventurism. It is all locked and loaded. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dismantle that first. Fight later. That's how it's got to be.
Yeah. I tell you, Rex, whether it's right, left, libertarian, right wing, left wing, one issue voters drive me flipping nuts. You know, go start a freaking nonprofit organization. You know, politics is about the Constitution. You know, no one idea or one person runs a damn country. You know, things move and change. I mean, how long did it take to get rid of slavery? And then how long did it take to
get
civil
rid of
rights? And then get civil rights. I mean, things. You know, it's just mind-boggling to me how people just live and die on these things. And you know, and when you look at the Democrat Party, it is more divisive than the Republican Party. They have more fractions than we do. And yet they win. You know why they win? Because they get together and they focus on strategy to win. Mm-hmm. You know, they all, I mean, my God, you got people crying over trees, you know?
Well, they win on emotional crap and identity and skin color and gender and all this shit. And the Republicans think, well, they're winning by doing that, so we've got to do that too. Conservative voters don't respond to that garbage. They will just go vote for the Democrats if that's how you're going to be. You have to appeal to them on the ideas that are enshrined in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Okay, that appeal to – because liberty appeals to people, whether they're Latino, Asian, black, white, Martian, male, female. Apparently these days there's other options, whatever. Liberty appeals to people, okay? So you know, quit your nitpicking about stupid crap. And, of course, there are some issues that are more important than others. Granted, for people who are pro-life – that tends to be the issue that trumps all others. And, you know, I don't disagree. I'm 100% pro-life myself. But let me be clear about something. I can make the case for it based on rational arguments and show you why it's right. And I guarantee you that if we didn't have this federal Leviathan dictating everything, most of the states in this country would make the right decision. Okay? Yeah. So you have to understand. And let's just be clear tomorrow. If you pro-lifers out there are so hard up to get a law that makes abortion illegal again, that won't change anything. People will still get them. Your job is to make sure that people don't want them. Win the case by reaching out in good charity to people who are doing this and show them the errors of their ways. You have to win the hearts and minds of the culture, because the real battle isn't in the realm of politics. It's in the realm of hearts and minds and culture. But you see, you can't have that happen when you have a government that is willing to trample on religious freedom. And for you atheists and randroids out there, that includes you. Because while today trampling on the Catholic Church to force them to pay for contraception and abortions and sterilizations may not bother you, how about when you get the next Southern Baptist fundamentalist in the White House who starts demanding that you go to a Christian church on Sunday? I bet you'll be pissed off then. Religious freedom means the right to not have to practice a religion too. So it is important that we respect liberty, and that unites everybody. And that's where you got to be.
Our founding father, you know what's amazing to me is you know, most, if not, I don't want to say all, because you can get in some arguments over exactly what level of religious doctrine that the founding fathers, but they were pretty strong, most of them fundamentally strong Christians. And yet they built a country of freedom. That was absolutely an incredible thing that they put in place. And you will never have your right, that we lose our rights, you know, our religious rights, our freedoms, all the things that are so important, our liberties that are so important to us, because you have a centralized secular power struggle that uses the rule of law to defeat you. And so if you want your ability to live your religion, because I'm a strong Christian, strong pro-life, you know, things like that. But I also understand that I'm never going to get it delivered to me from the federal government. And this is so important. The government cannot legislate morality.
Well, I agree,
look
Chris.
At the prohibition, man. My God.
It can't legislate morality, but Chris, it does have to legislate morally. And frankly, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz were talking about it. They were on that Senate floor for a 13-hour filibuster talking about drones. They weren't talking about drones. You know, don't drone me, bro. What they were talking about was life. The Fifth Amendment guarantees every American the right to life and property. You cannot be deprived of them without due process, okay? And that includes the preborn. But guess what?
Yeah.
You can pass the law tomorrow, okay? You can pass the law tomorrow. It's still going to happen because you haven't won the hearts and minds of the people. Now, I'm 100% for enforcing the Constitution, and I believe the Constitution does prevent the taking of innocent life, which is what a baby in the womb is. But just because you make it illegal tomorrow doesn't mean it'll stop. And just to be clear, in this country, there were hundreds of thousands of abortions before Roe v. Wade. You lost when you lost the culture and you gave it over to the cultural Marxists who've instituted such a subconscious political correctness that you are afraid to say what you mean what you say. Take back the high ground. But you will never get it if there is a police state with drones flying overhead, with debt as far as the eye can see, a collapsing currency, okay, and just sheer chaos, which is where we are heading politically if you don't reclaim the Constitution in this country soon,
and this is,
starting now.
This is something that's very important to understand. The people that you fear are taking over is a culture of death. Because if you look at the world and you want to look at it just from a sheer numbers and management and resources standpoint, most of the globalists, if not every damn one of them, who don't care, life means nothing to them. There is overpopulation in this world, and they're all worried about resources, and they're worried about feeding people, and they're worried about wars, and they look out across the world at the numbers, and they're all for death. So if you keep fighting these issues and you don't get control of the get that Constitution back where it belongs, that our founding fathers may not envision the internet and iPhones, but they had seen enough history of humankind to understand what totalitarian ism is. Okay, and that's what you know, it's that thing about study history. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, read the Old Testament. There ain't nothing new under the sun. Humankind has always been this stupid and this evil. Go ahead.
Well,
sorry.
You know, Chris, I mean, the thing is that, you know, God did put a limit on our intelligence when he made us, but he put no such limit on our stupidity, and we prove him right every day by just being dumber than shit. But
Is that in the Old Testament?
Yeah, it's in Leviticus or Numbers, or maybe it was Solomon that said it.
It's probably right before Kings when they said, "Give us a king to rule over us."
Yeah.
Idiot.
Well, you know, look, the simple fact is that you're free to be as stupid as you want to be. All right, but you're not free to you're not free to force me into your stupid idea, which is what the left, the Democrats, the rhinos, John Boehner, Karl Rove are doing. I mean, you're not going to force me to be stupid enough to vote for Mitt Romney, Carl. It's not going to happen. Don't try it again. I don't know why you brought him back at CPAC for version 3.0 of your stupid beast, but just put him away. Let him go run Detroit into the ground or something, but just stop trying to sell us Romney. It's not going to happen. And Republicans, don't you friggin' dare try to sell me another Bush, okay?
Oh, Lord.
Just don't do it, okay? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry, but one thing is Jeb, you know, he had a pretty good run as a governor, and he seems like a really nice guy, but give me a break. You know, go ahead.
It's a political disaster. First of all, you know, even if he happens to be a good guy, I don't know if he'd be a good president. And second of all, it just strategically speaking, you really want another Bush? I mean, look at what's happened. Look at what's happened. Plus, you know, as a governor, he raised taxes. Okay, look, let's be clear about something. Bozell called him out too, right? Governor Bob McDonnell was the darling of the right when he won in Virginia as governor in 2009, because Obama had just taken the state for the first time for the Democrats in God knows how long. And so, you know, it was seen as a repudiation of Obama. Well, and this guy was, quote, a rising star. Then he stuck his head up Romney's ass, and then he raised taxes by $7 billion on the Commonwealth of Virginia. Conservatives don't raise taxes. You can raise revenue. Reagan raised revenue by lowering taxes, but you don't raise tax rates. That's what he did. He's taxing the crap out of the Commonwealth and telling me somehow that this tax hike is going to create jobs. Hey, Bob,
and don't
bullshit
and don't
on you.
Forget.
That's not true.
don't forget these Republican governors who are buying into Obama's Medicare money. They are basically setting those states up to fail in the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. People don't understand this. You have to look at this logically. The government gives you 100%, and then they start weeding you off of it. Now it's your responsibility in the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years. It's going to destroy these states. And these governors who are selling their butts down the drain that we put in there off the Tea Party wave that are doing this, get them out of there.
Yep. That's what you got to do. You got to repudiate them and then hold their feet to the fire. And look, there was a recall election for Scott Walker because he stood up to unions. It failed, but they tried. Why don't you recall some of these sons of bitches that tell you that I'm going to keep taxes low and spend less and be conservative and then turn around and just be nothing but big rhinos? Real quick, just because we brought it up, Chris, we got less than 10 minutes of live time, and we're going to lose the feed, but you and I'll probably just wrap up a few minutes shortly after that. If anybody wants to listen, I don't have time to take on any callers, but you can call in 646-649-1013. If you're in archives or podcasts, just keep going, and we'll try to wrap up soon. But we mentioned this a second ago, is the introduction of Rand Paul's speech. It's a 30-second clip. I just have to play it because I love what happened.
I also came with a message for the president, a message that is loud and clear, a message that doesn't mince words.
Well,
that's not exactly what I was thinking. However, I think he may have distilled my 13-hour speech into 3 words.
Don't drone me, bro. That was brilliant.
That needs to be on hats and T-shirts.
Oh, yeah. It's just,
you know,
it's
there
expensive.
Is so much more, you know, not to go back to the filibuster, but that filibuster was so flippant important. I could not believe I sat through that whole damn thing. I learned a lot because, you know, when he had to talk for 13 hours, he had to, you know, he didn't want to sound stupid. He got a little repetitive here and there, but he covered a lot of important things. And and then right after that, there was something else that happened. Was Glenn Beck, and I'm not promoting Glenn Beck because people have mixed opinions about him, but he does damn good research and he does good shows. He did a show on post 9/11, right when they started funding up the NSA and getting into some whistleblowers and some people who worked in that era and were part of that. And if we would have had the Facebook and the Twitter and the things that we have today during that era, I think there would have been a whole lot of different things happen.
Because Rothbro said
it. Was Rothbro scary. That show that Beck did was scary. And he actually had Rand on there about 5 or 6 or 7 times. That I didn't know that was going to happen. It was kind of interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, Beck is a, you know, he's like Alex Jones. He just wants to scare you to listening to his stuff. And I'm not saying it doesn't have some truth in there, but just don't listen to Beck and Alex Jones and freak out that the world is going to end tomorrow. It might end tomorrow.
Yeah, don't listen.
You know,
don't
just
listen,
be ready
to
die.
To
who the hell cares? But don't buy into that crap and just keep a cool head about you and just keep moving forward. Back to the Constitution. But the interesting thing, I mean, that was the most compelling 13 hours on C-SPAN since Newt used to take the floor in the 80s with the Conservative Opportunity Society and stump for Reagan, basically. The thing that we all have to keep in mind is that there are certain broad principles that unite people. And you have to work on that one by one, reach out to people and convince them and tell them, look, even if they're, you know, Occupy Wall Street Anonymous guys, okay, there's agreement on liberty, on freedom of speech, freedom of the Internet. And, I mean, Ross Perot said it. If he had the tools that we have today back then, you would have probably never seen a Bill Clinton presidency.
Yeah.
You know, that's
Ross
the power
Perot
behind
pulled-
it.
He pulled the highest numbers. People were so pissed off. And he pulled the highest numbers of any independent ever. You know, it was 19% or 20% or something like that?
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing.
A little over 19%. Yeah, it was. And that's without all the tools that we have today. And here's the interesting thing about all these
tools.
And
I was talking like this, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You use big, giant, sucking sound south. And he was right. But let's just because you brought up Glenn Beck, Ross Perot was using a blackboard in the charts long before Glenn Beck was doing anything other than drinking himself and killing his liver and doing top 40 morning zoo crap. Here's the thing. All these tools are useful, but they're also useless. You know, just like a drone in and of itself, like you said earlier, a building can't be evil, a party can't be evil. No, the party is an organization. It's what you do with it. And the tool, the Twitter, the Facebook, the Pinterest, or all that stuff, it is only as useful as you make it. And if you're sitting there posting, Obama said this, Obama did that, and you got to have some entertainment there. Sometimes it's good to keep an eye on these things. But focus up on what really matters and quit preaching to the choir, which is why you've got to spread this show. Download the archives. Just go to our Tex and Rex show page in Blog Talk Radio, or right-click on the download link. You'll get an MP3. You can burn it on a CD. You can send it an email. Tell people to listen to the show. You don't have to agree with everything that we say, and if you don't, by all means, call in and challenge us. But the simple thing is that you've got to get people to stop thinking in terms of doing what the leadership of the parties tell you to do and start really looking at things and understanding what things mean. When was the last time you read the Constitution? Did you ever look at the Fifth Amendment until Rand Paul's 13-hour filibuster? Think about that.
What about Cruz's conversation in the Senate hearing right before they voted on to bring the gun control, communist takeover of a country? But, even before that, when he was with the piece that he did before, when he was doing the example of, he hit Feinstein between the eyes. She got all flustered and said, "I'm not a sixth grader," got all excited because he nailed her. He's going, "What you're saying, if we take what you're trying to do in this bill to the First Amendment or the Second, you know what I mean?" And he crossed, his logic is impeccable.
Yep.
And people don't understand. And one of the greatest talks is Josh Tolley at one of the gun rallies when he went through each one of the amendments and said, and he showed where this amendment was already unconstitutionally abused. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to get. We get focused on these individual topics, whether it's Second Amendment or, the filibuster and the drone. It wasn't about the drones, folks. You know what I'm saying? You've got to look at the bigger picture because I didn't mean to, scare people with the Glenn Beck show, but what he showed happened after 9/11 is where all of this that we're facing today and freaked out about started. I mean, it started before that, yes, but that was the pinnacle. We bitch and moan about Feinstein. She's been sitting on this legislation just waiting for the next, mass killing that she could ride off of, and we even got them quotes. My son had 98 quotes by liberals and Democrats saying we need that next crisis so we can push this through. These people are evil.
Yeah.
But you've got to look at what Bush, and I don't want to say Bush per se and just focus on him.
Rove.
But the
people behind
him.
Rove.
Yeah, and also, the major players behind him in his cabinet that were controlling him, they just, a lot of the conspiracy people say, "Oh, we caused 9/11 and blah, blah, blah." But regardless, it happened. And the moment it happened, they ran. What I mean? They implemented all this shit they've been waiting forever to implement.
Well, remember, the Iraq invasion was drawn up in the Clinton years.
Oh, yeah.
And 9/11 was just an excuse to go and implement it. So, don't say it was just the Bush neocons that came up with the Iraq idea. That was floated in the Clinton years. And, if he hadn't gotten caught with his zipper down, it might have happened. Just saying. Or whatever he did with a cigar. All right, folks, we're about to lose you live, but on that note, we'll keep going. Chris, you want to hear a little bit of
You crack me up so much. Go ahead.
You want to hear a little Newt Gingrich or a little Cruz? Do Newt.
Both. Sure.
All right, let's do both. All right, this is Newt on Schiff Radio. It's about a minute and 40 seconds talking about Rand Paul at CPAC.
Hey, what did you think of Senator Rand Paul and his filibuster? Do you think that did anything to maybe widen the Republican tent and maybe bring some more people into the fold?
Well, I think there were two really good things about Rand Paul's filibuster. The first was he proved that one person with courage can make a difference. And I think I try to tell younger members, don't complain about the leadership, go lead. And Rand Paul did that. It was very effective, and I hope it'll lead more people to doing it. Second, the issue he raised was really important. The founding fathers wrote the Constitution to control the government, not to control the American people. We have every reason to fear the government, and we have every reason to want very clear rules that protect Americans from their politicians, and I thought his issue was serious.
And, of course, you know, as the government gets more power, it can use that power in a very destructive manner. And a powerful government is at odds with individual liberty and individual freedom. And we need to bring these issues to the attention. I would like to see that type of filibuster moved also against the budget, against spending.
Well, and against the Federal Reserve. I mean, the most powerful single person in the American economy today is Ben Bernanke. It is a secret position making secret rules with secret deals. It involves trillions of dollars, and it's wrong. I mean, it's not right in a free society.
Well, and the biggest problem is the reason the federal government can borrow so much money is because Ben Bernanke is monetizing it. If the Fed were truly independent and responsible, it wouldn't be buying all this debt. Interest rates would be much higher, and we would have no choice but to cut government spending.
Oh, that's right, and I really worry that he is sowing the seeds of a disaster.
Absolutely. Hey, we got a quick break. Really thank you for stopping
Glad
by
and
wish you the best of luck.
Wish you the best of luck. I mean, did you ever think Peter Schiff would be saying that to Newt Gingrich? But, you know, it's really, really cool because, you know, we're talking about things that matter. And the fact is that these things matter so much, you can't be on the wrong side of them. Look at what Karl Rove had to do after the Conservative Victory Project. He had to come back and say he loves the Tea Party and he helped Rand Paul get elected. Complete lies, and no one believes him, but look what he had to do. Look at the two, you know, stale moss, you know, the John McCain and Lindsey lighting his loafers Graham with their, you know, wacko birds, and you know, Rand Paul is inciting libertarian kids. I mean, you know, dude, what are you talking about? He's talking about the Constitution. How does that appeal to libertarian kids, you friggin' idiot? The Constitution is for all Americans. It's actually for the whole world because we were the first place to do anything even remotely close to that.
How many new come-of-age voters will there be in 2014, and how many new come-of-age voters in 2016? How many did they stomp on by destroying the Ron Paul movement in 2012? I mean, this guy has got to go away. I mean, oh, my God, he's like the gatekeeper in Ghostbusters. I mean, this guy is terrible.
Vince Clortho.
Oh, my God. Lord have mercy. But, you know, you saw that article I put on there that Alan Greenspan, right? You know, I mean, this guy's going, we got to shut the Fed down.
Well, you know, Greenspan is kind of an odd bird. I mean, he was a Randroid back in the day, you know, for gold standard as an intellectual proposition. But when he got the levers of the Fed, he was Keynesian all the way through.
I know, but now, but he's probably had a come to Jesus moment in his later days going, oh, shit, look what we've done.
Maybe. Look, anybody that hates the Fed, I'm willing to support them because, you know, that's the root of the whole problem, because that's where the money flows, and as long as they got money flowing, they can screw things up. But one thing that money cannot defeat, and that's people. And Newt Gingrich said it in the primaries, because I'm not running a money campaign, I'm running a people campaign. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Not enough of us stood up, and those of us that stood with him capitulated and got on our knees and went after Romney, and that's why you got what you got, and that's why Obama's back in the White House. So you need to stand on principle, you need to be politically shrewd, and you need to remember something, that it is your vote that matters. Now, there is some issues with whether the votes count or not. Well, you got to fix it, and you fix that at the local level. You know, we were talking about technology earlier and all this stuff. Well, there was a pretty important election that happened this week also. It was only 115 people voted, and we still don't know how they voted. But the Cardinals were electing a pope who basically is the pastor of 1.2 billion people on the planet. So it's not a small position, okay? 115 cardinal electors went into the Sistine Chapel, which was swept for bugs, sealed, locked, you know, conclave means with keys, and they deliberated, they prayed, and they voted and let the Holy Spirit guide them. But guess how they actually did the actual voting process? They got a piece of paper, and a pen, and they wrote the name down on paper. Learn a lesson, okay? You want paper ballots. You want write-in ballots, except for people with disabilities. You have to make accommodations, okay? But that's how you, and public counting of the ballots. You need to work on that in your locality.
In English.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, you know, ostensibly it would be whatever the person's name is. If they happen to have a Spanish-sounding name like, oh, I don't know, Ted Cruz, then maybe you would write it that way. Because guess what? I don't know if people know this because I keep hearing about this Cuban wonder from Florida. Ted Cruz is also Cuban. The difference between him and Rubio is that Ted Cruz can speak, contemporaneously about liberty, about justice, about the Constitution without a script or a teleprompter. Rubio is like another Obama. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying that, he's easily managed.
When I watched him do his speech, because he was a keynote speaker, that blew me away. I mean, he's the freshman, 9 weeks, 10 weeks. He's been in there.
And his debut on the Senate floor was during Rand's filibuster.
I know. And he reads the Twitter bomb. I mean, it was amazing. But here's the thing about Cruz. I did not follow his candidacy and his battle. I heard a little bit about it through the primary. I had people on my group, that were both, one for the other and one, him. So I didn't really know much about him. But when I found out he fought both Bush and the UN on a Supreme Court case and won, this clip that you and I were messing around with today, that he was part of that Heller decision on the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
guy
yep.
is, I mean, he. I'm getting more impressed with him every day. Like I said, I didn't know that much about him, but watching him speak, and you and I were joking around about that because I call him Shakespeare, but watching him speak, the depth of his information, the amount of how he speaks, how he carries himself, the information that he has, his ability to articulate, and his ability to go after people without being ridiculous. But I mean, he's brutal. And watching zero in on Feinstein, I'm like man, this guy's got cojones, baby.
Yeah.
He's going to end up, but he's pretty amazing to me right now.
Well, would you say he's Gingrich-esque?
Yeah, because people don't know Newt Gingrich. I studied his whole career. That guy came in the door as a freshman congressman, and he started upsetting the apple cart from day one. He came.
He told them we were going to get the majority right there and then, and they said he was nuts.
Well,
but he did it,
and he went after corruption in both parties too.
Yep, just like Sarah Palin. Just like Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Which actually, we're going to wrap up shortly, but just before we do, I just want to, kind of bring it back home to what we heard about in the beginning, because we opened the show with Rand Paul's CPAC speech, and then we played a little bit of Reagan's, bold colors instead of pale pastels. And we talked about the fact that, Reagan gave that speech, which Rand Paul could give today and would describe the situation for the conservative movement, not only the Republican Party, but all conservatives, including the Constitution Party and the conservative people in the Libertarian Party and independents. And then 20 years later, you had, a true conservative revolution in Washington led by Newt Gingrich. And for 4 years, you were actually moving the government towards being smaller and spending less. Okay? And then, of course, the rhinos put a stop to that.
He did that by not doing what Boehner's doing.
You mean giving Clinton everything he wants? He did it by shutting down the government. Here we are today's 10 days from now, we're supposed to be avoiding this government. Shut it down. Grow a pair, Johnny. Take a lesson from Newt.
Do you know Boehner's most recent thing he said? Oh, I agree. I trust Obama. I agree with Obama. The debt ceiling isn't that big of a deal. That was his most recent thing.
Yeah, I know. I heard it, but I got to tell you that it just didn't shock me. I wasn't surprised. The guy's a pussy. He's not a conservative. He's not going to stand up to Obama. They're on the same team. They play golf together. Maybe they hang out in bathhouses with Lindsey Graham. I don't know. All I can tell you is don't look for any Don't look for anything conservative out of little Johnny Boehner. Just finish him off. Hey, listen, people of Ohio, if you send Johnny back here, I'm coming up to Ohio, and I'm going to kick all your butts. We don't want him. Just get rid of him. Finish him off. Here's the deal. So we talked about, right? We talked about Reagan, and then 20 years later, Newt brought this conservative revolution. The rhinos, led by little Johnny Boehner, put an end to that and then went on a compassionate conservative drunken spending binge with the architect of disaster, Karl Rove.
And who was part of that? Who else was part of that?
Part of what?
Ran for president? That drunken spending bender? Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, oh yeah, little Ricky Santorum. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a big spender. And he, like I said, he'd be nobody if Newt Gingrich hadn't done what he did in 94. He owes everything to Newt Gingrich. He turned around and stepped on him. But here's the deal. So here you are. What are you going to do? Well, you need to make your voice loud. You need to take the momentum of CPAC instead of just making it into cheerleading and, you know, mental masturbation and rah, rah, rah. You got to do something with it. You got to contact Ted Cruz's office. You got to contact Rand Paul's office. You got to look at your locals and tell them, look, I want more of what Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Justin Amash are doing up there, okay? And don't give me this, oh, but I'm not a libertarian. If you're an American, you are at least an economic libertarian and a political libertarian. If you are not a social libertarian, fine, okay? If you're like, well, but I can't work with libertarians because they're not pro-life. Guess what? I know a lot of people who identify as libertarians, and most of them that I know are pro-life. They are faithful Christians. Some of them are not. Some of them are Ayn Rand, you know, atheistic randroids. Some are, you know, some kind of secret occult thing, New Age, whatever. Guess what? Covered by the First Amendment. Okay, it's covered by the First Amendment. They have a right to believe what they believe no matter how wrong they are. But you have to work with them on liberty, economic liberty and political liberty. If you want to win the social battle, then get out there in the culture and fix it. You're not going to fix it politically, okay? But politics and economics has to be free if you ever want to get this culture back. Yeah. Now, so we go from Reagan to Gingrich to the rhinos, Bush, architect, and here we are now with just, you know, Rove, the Kleck, and Romney. But you got some rising stars. We heard from Rand. Here is a minute 34, kind of bringing it home, Ted Cruz from CPAC, and then you and I'll go to final thoughts. This is Ted Cruz, cool. CPAC, keynote speech. It's awesome. Listen to the whole thing. I'm only playing a minute 34.
But the second thing we need to do is we need to champion growth and opportunity. People are hurting right now. We are in the midst of what I call the Great Stagnation. President Obama is one of only two presidents post-World War II to face double-digit unemployment. And for the last 4 years, economic growth under President Barack Obama has averaged 0.8%, less than 1%. There is only one other period post-1950 where we've had 4 years of less than 1% economic growth. That's from 1979 to 1983. Coming out of Jimmy Carter, following the same policies of out-of-control spending, out-of-control debt, out-of-control taxes, out-of-control regulation, that's the only other period. President Reagan came in facing that stagnation, and he implemented policies the exact opposite of Barack Obama's. In fact, it's interesting. 79 to 83, economic growth was 0.8%. Today, it's 0.8% for the exact same period. Because Obama didn't learn the lesson from Reagan that if you want to turn the economy around, you cut taxes, you reduce spending, you reduce the debt, and you don't send regulators like locusts to destroy small businesses and jobs.
That was an amazingly powerful minute 30, right?
Yeah, it's incredible.
If you tax something, you get less of it. If you subsidize it, you get more of it. If you leave it alone, the good will rise to the top and the crap will be destroyed. But when you tax and subsidize things, you screw them up. And that's what Obama is doing. And don't think for a minute it's not intentional. His handlers are handling it well to destroy this country, turn it into a wasteland, and you know, take over the world ostensibly, okay, like Moriarty or one of the James Bond characters, take out the United States, and they're succeeding.
Yep.
But they can't win the war of ideas if we go out there with people like Cruz and Rand Paul and Newt Gingrich and Jim DeMint and make the case, because liberty is attractive. Let's go to final thoughts, Chris. It's on your mind.
Well, I think I just wrote something. I said I am extremely encouraged. Obama getting elected again is giving us the chance to take our party back. Obama gave us the Tea Party, people like Sarah Palin and all the heroes that we're talking about today, the people that fired us up at CPAC. You've got to look. There's something, there's a mental game. You don't win until you win in your mind. You don't lose until you lose in your mind. These are things that, you know, when we look at sports, we look at the way people speak. You know, you don't go out going, well, I hope we have a good game. You know, you go out with this intent that you are the biggest, baddest team that ever existed and that you're going to squash your enemies. And there's something that is, that I see in this tone that just drives me nuts across all the groups. And you know, and the different social media, is this attitude of, you know, it's just a depressing attitude. You got to get out of this stuff. You got to find the champions, get behind them. And you made a very important point. You got to get a hold of the people, you know, whether it's Paul or Cruz or Lee or whoever, you know, Palin, and go like their pages and go get involved in their groups. You know, there's something weird that happens with the social media where people go out and they got to build a group every time they get excited about something. You need to, if you're excited about what Ted Cruz did, don't go build a Ted Cruz group. He has one of his own. Go get involved in it. It is just amazing to me how people don't understand these simple strategies. When I first started fighting for Newt Gingrich and I went to his Facebook group, I realized this is Newt's campaign Facebook page. There must have been 40, 50 Newt groups. I couldn't get those people to come help me work on his page for nothing. You know, there's like five or six of us kept that thing alive. That was his campaign page. That is what you have to do, is if you're fired up about Cruz, then go to Cruz and support him. Don't go support him in some obscure place with you and your same 100 friends that you have on 10 other groups you started. That is insanity. That is one of the worst strategies in the world you can do in an organizational development. This is my background. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to beat up on people, but I'm trying to help people understand how to win. Change your talk. Change how you comment. Get involved. You know, in our group, you know, we like to post, and I mean, it's really cool when people post articles and stuff. You and I have the same opinion about a lot of this crap. It's just crap. It's just reposting. But, you know, you find something that's a hot topic, whether it's the Second Amendment or immigration or CPAC, and you post that post, and you bring people to that post, and you get involved, and you have a conversation, and you feed, and you build off of that. That is a forward motion. You know, posting is activity. There's no, I mean, what does it do? You're just passing around the news of the day. It does nothing. So these
busy
are
work.
Simple things. You know, yeah, it's busy work, man. Get involved. I never built a group because I wanted to. I sure as hell didn't want to manage one. You know what I mean? I don't like managing people,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
But I built it because I got tired of the social environment, and I wanted a place where I could have conversations with people like you and me and the people on our group that want to change something, to do something, don't get caught up in the minutiae, don't get caught up in all the stupid little battles that don't mean anything if we don't save our country. You know, that's what I want to do, is surround myself by those kind of people. That's the kind of things that are basic. I mean, this is organizational success principles. You know, read a couple books. Read John Maxwell's books. You know, he's one of the greatest leadership developers in the world. You know, he's a counselor to kings and emperors and presidents and sports teams. And, you know, the guy used to be a pastor. He built huge churches. He understands how to build leadership, and those principles are there.
You know, I was so fascinated by the Ron Paul movement because of the explosion and the dedication and the numbers and the interaction and the fight. But, you know, they're leaderless, and there's so much infighting and nitpicking over, you know, Rand Paul this. Well, he voted for that guy. Well, I don't know. You know, he's not his dad. And it's like, grow the hell up. My God, who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to back? Are you going to stand around and argue on a social network until we lose our country? Or are you going to get your freaking get together? I have some strong libertarians on my group. And one of the guys is a great guy. And he was talking about, we got to build these coalitions. Well, that's what the hell the name of my group is, you know.
Coalition of Freedom.
You know, but he was talking about something very important, is we got to get these you know, the people that are the right-wing neocon, you know, that 50-50 vote between Rubio and Paul, you know, and if you look at the questions for CPAC, and I'm going, those people don't even want to listen to you. What you need to do is build the coalitions between me. I'm a conservative, you're a libertarian, and we get along fine, even though we have some differences on some specific things, but our basic core value of freedom, liberty, the Constitution, limited government, you know, the whole 10th Amendment, or, you know, the whole 10th Amendment conversation, scaling back on our intrusion all over the world, you know, and I'm going, that's the coalition, because we have differences, but where we're together on, we are inseparable.
Yep.
That's what we need to be doing. When I built this group and you and I first met, that was the conversation we had. Mm-hmm. That's what I focus on. That's the direction we need to go. All this other stuff is just divisive, you know,
it's
and
fluff.
A waste of time.
Fluff
anyway,
and
that's
distraction.
My
you're right.
Rant
fluff
of the day.
Fluff and distraction, and you're absolutely right. And you know, speaking of coalitions, there was a coalition put together that had some similarities, you know, maybe on some property. Probably mostly from the same race and the same, you know, gender. But there were some differences. Some of them were deists, some were Christians, one was a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some were for more central power, some were for a little bit less central power. But they formed a coalition and they gave us a document that basically created our federal government and put it in that box. And that beast has escaped the box. And the only thing that's going to put it back in the box is you working with other people who agree that it needs to be put back in the box. That box is 10 miles square. Well, not anymore because the Commonwealth is back to our land. But it used to be 10 miles square. It's called Washington, D.C. And you put them in that box and you limit them to the enumerated powers and you limit to what they can do. And people like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Justin Amash are doing that and you support them. Ron Paul said something, and what he taught, and you said, you know, now they're somewhat leaderless. That's bound to happen, and they're going to grow up. You know, those damn libertarian kids, especially those 40- and 50-year-old ones, they're going to grow up someday. but
good
you know,
point.
The thing is that he said something. He said they can not defeat our ideas. Liberty is an indefeatable idea. It is
yep.
It is a rare exception in human history, but it is what man has always yearned for, truth and liberty, okay? And that's what you have to unite around. And you have to remember that Ron Paul said that we started the intellectual revolution. So you need to continue it. That means you need to learn. You need to understand, and you need to work with others. Look at Newt Gingrich. He's effective because he's a historian. And look at Ron Paul. He's effective because he's a constitutionalist. Okay? And that's why you've got to take that and understand what these things mean, what these principles of liberty mean, where
mm-hmm.
they come from, how we got here, why they're worth fighting for, and then go out and evangelize the rest. Get them excited about it. Get them involved. Change your ballot access rules. Change your voting rules. Stop nitpicking and fighting about crap that doesn't mean anything, okay? And let's take this country back to the republic it's supposed to be within the enumerated powers with both the horizontal and the vertical checks and balances.
Yep.
And what we heard at CPAC was the next wave, okay,
mm-hmm.
that can take the conservative movement in and out of the Republican Party from where it was in 1974 to where it got to in 1994 and even better.
And so you need to go ahead and support these people. You need to watch all of them. The whole point is you can't trust a single one of these politicians, but you've got to support the ones who are doing the right things. You've got to build coalitions, and you got to bring it forward. And listen to Brent Bozell and listen to Pat Caddell. There is a consultant lobbyist establishment complex that has taken over both parties. So you progressives who might be listening to this show, it's happening on the Democrat side too. How else do you think you got a loser like Obama as your candidate again? Okay. And you have to remove these people and create true reform, going back to the things that worked and fixing the things that didn't. Okay, when we talk about 10th Amendment, oh my God, they're going to put the Africans back in slave status. Okay, no. Okay, you fix the things you made mistakes with, and that's precisely why the Constitution doesn't get erased. It gets amended so that you can look at it and go, oh my goodness, we did that. That was morally wrong. It was reprehensible. We fixed it. We're not going back. But guess what? It's morally reprehensible to enslave an entire nation of people through the invisible shackles of fiat currency and debt, okay? So we have to undo that kind of debt slavery and liberate everybody, regardless of race, gender, creed, national origin, because we're all Americans and we all want liberty. So yeah. Build these coalitions, form them, and work with each other on the broad areas. And take a cue from Ronald Reagan. Bold colors, not pale pastels. No more rhinos. We want conservatives. So that's what we need to do. I'm going to do a little housekeeping, and then we'll bring it home. But, Chris, you have something you want to
throw out there? I have some that you triggered some in my mind. I think that is really important, that ties into what I was saying about, you know, understanding the battle and understanding how to work together with differences. And this is a historical point. Everybody looks back at the founding fathers and thinks about all these, you know, unified people all working together. They were at war with each other. They almost had some revolutions in the process of building the Constitution and the conventions. They almost had, you know, they had all kinds of battles going on. They had different faiths. They had different backgrounds. They were from different parts of the world. When you look at the size of America, you know, from Maine all the way down to, you know, the Carolinas, or all the way down even, you know, when they formed those 13 colonies, they all had different interests. Even back then, they had different opinions on slavery. You know, some were traders, some were landowners. Some wanted to form a similar constitutional government similar to England with a strong centralized power, the Federalists and Hamilton, and some wanted a central bank, Hamilton again. He had, you know, they were vicious. They bought newspapers so they could go at each other and smear the crap out of each other. They weren't a bunch of unified, you know, wonderful kumbaya set around the campfire roasting, you know, making s'mores. You know, it was a bloody battle inside the freedom movement of this country. So, but there was a common thread. They had an oppressor, England. They wanted their freedom, and they wanted a structure set in place that their differences could be lived out in some form of unity that, and very importantly, that would outlive them and their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. So it wasn't a pretty event. There's a lot of history that people need to study in the formation of finally getting to a – in fact, a lot of people did not even want the damn Constitution because they felt – you know, we almost had a war inside
Patrick
the colonies
Henry.
over getting the damn Bill of Rights put in there. If you wouldn't have had the Bill of Rights, we would have had a totalitarianism by the early 1800s. Come on, folks. Strife and challenge and people disagreeing on things is a natural state of man. Read the Old Testament. It's been going on forever.
Liberty
but
is messy.
But you got to focus. Yeah, you got to – yeah, good point. You've got to focus on the right things and fight the right battles. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, that was brilliant. You're absolutely right, and I want to thank you for joining the conversation with me this evening while Tex was on a special assignment, and appreciate it. We will be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight, and what Chris just pointed out is absolutely true. And just remember, liberty is messy. Okay, that's the beauty of it. Human beings are flawed creatures. We're super creative, and we're capable of dastardly deeds. The Constitution was designed to limit the dastardly deeds that men in power can do, so that the rest of us can be creative and help build a flourishing, free, and virtuous society. That's the adventure, and there will be setbacks, and there will be moments of despair. But overall, it is exciting to be here. I'm very excited about what happened at CPAC, and so should you be.
Me too.
Take that excitement. Take that momentum. Do something with it. Reach out to people. Build coalitions. And just think back to last time we were here when Reagan was giving that speech about we don't really need a third party, but he blessed everybody who decided to go that route. He said we need a revitalized first party that has bold colors and not pale pastels, that stands on the Constitution, authentic conservative principles which are overlapping with libertarian principles. Build coalitions on those things that overlap, and let's do something exciting. And then remember that back then you had Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher bringing conservatism to Great Britain, since it hadn't seen it since the war. You had Blessed John Paul II elected Pope, first non-Italian Pope in 400 years, and you had Ronald Reagan, who was never expected to go anywhere. They treated him the way they treat Sarah Palin today, become president of these United States, and the three of them didn't agree on everything, but they formed a wonderful relationship, and they all had attacks on their life. Reagan was shot, Blessed John Paul was shot, they tried to blow up Margaret Thatcher, and they all survived, and they all kept on putting pressure, and they brought an end to the Cold War and the defeat of Soviet communism. And we can do the same thing. The difference is that the target this time is not Moscow or East Berlin. The target is our own capital, Washington, D.C. The barbarians are in the gates, and the fight is here. And you are the foot soldiers. Be excited, because it is a privilege. Out of the 7 billion people currently living on the planet, 300 million of us are Americans. It is an honor to be here at this time to make a stand for liberty. You should be encouraged. You should be excited. You should be very, very happy to be here. But don't let up for 1 minute. Quit distracting yourself with senseless garbage that they pump into your brain to confuse you and diminish your capacity to think. Learn, read, inspire others, form coalitions, and let's make this country great once again for the sake of the whole world. This is Tex and Rex signing off. Flames of liberty will never die.
I was going to do that for you.
Well, he didn't say no. What I want to hear from John Brennan before I agree to let his nomination go forward is that no, a CIA or the Department of Defense cannot kill someone in America without, you know, any kind of judicial proceeding. Senator Wyden asked Brennan this in the committee hearing. He says, can you kill an American on American soil with a drone without a judicial hearing? And Brennan didn't answer the question. So we've asked it in.
I also came with a message for the president, a message that is loud and clear, a message that doesn't mince words.
Well,
that's not exactly what I was thinking. However, I think he may have distilled my 13-hour speech into three words.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Turn on, I'll see you red.